and mold every film, television, pop culture, anywhere you'll find it.
Landfill could eat a ton, but he could also love a ton. He had this habit of swallowing his food whole. I called him the tiger shark. I used to joke that if you cut open his belly, you would find a license plate and a tire and half of an 8-year-old boy. One time, he farted an entire plum. I was plum surprised. I always told him to try to chew his food better, but he never listened to me. But that was Landfill. He was a fat asshole. But he was my fat asshole.
I'm happy, and I punch the man who says I'm not. I'm happy, and I punch the man who says I'm not. I'm happy, punch. Oh,
I've got a major problem, okay? My fiance was kidnapped and taken to Hawaii. I've got to get there now.
Well, I'm trying to make arrangements to get to Milwaukee for my nephew Douglas's wedding on the 21st.
You're not even flying today?
No. Consumer Reports said that if you make your travel arrangements 2 weeks in advance at the airport...
You see this line? We're all flying today.
Please, sir, if you don't get back on...
Then what? I'll be arrested? Put in airport jail? Just get your ticket and move on, okay? Get your goddamn ticket and move on!
What do you do, Brian?
An artist.
I'm an artist.
Oh, what kind of thing do you do?
Anger. Pain. Fear. Aggression.
Watercolors, or?
It's a bit more complex than that.
Captain, our weapons are useless. We must activate the auto-destruct sequence and use the escape pods to evacuate the ship.
No!
Jean-Luc, if we destroy the ship, we destroy the Borg.
We gotta stay and fight.
Sir, we have lost the Enterprise. We should not sacrifice...
We have not lost the Enterprise, Mr. Worf. We are not going to lose the Enterprise. Not to the Borg, not while I'm in command.
You have your orders.
I must object to this course of action.
The objection is noted.
With all due respect, sir... I believe you are allowing your personal experience with the Borg to influence your judgment.
You're afraid. You want to destroy the ship and run away. You coward.
Jean-Luc.
If you were any other man, I would kill you where you stand. Get off my bridge.
Woo! All right, everybody! One, two, three.
How could you do this to us after everything we've done for you?
See, Lewis bet me that we couldn't both get rich and put y'all in the poorhouse at the same time. He didn't think we could do it. I won.
I lost. $1.
Thank you, Lewis.
After you.
Certainly.
Yes! Woo! Yeah! We're back! I think... Hey, everyone! Hey! Hello? Hey! It's time for Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. We're back. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad to be here to talk to you tonight about film and TV, mostly TV. You know, we talk about film in the DVD section mostly, right, Bill? But yeah. We're here to talk about television and that kind of stuff with me, the J-Stream, but also Steven, the pop culture star. Hey, Steven, where you been, man?
I've been Wisconsin, been with...
Wisconsin?
I got my...
Yeah, go ahead.
The shit kicked out of me Wisconsin once.
Yes! I couldn't steal the line from you. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill? Yeah! Woo! We're back, huh?
We are.
How awesome is that, man? I'm really excited.
Good to hear your voice, Bill.
You too, Steven.
Long time no speak. Good times and great wine. You know what I'm saying?
And, I'm here to keep Steven awake.
And I got
to
say, man, that...
I had a nice little nap on the plane. I'm good.
Okay.
I got to say, guys, that in this little break, I honestly didn't know what to do with myself. I'm so, like, I don't know if we went so many weeks in a row of doing the show up until 200. And then I was like, well, let's not take a break yet. Let's keep going up until Lost End. So it was like 204. And then it was like, it becomes so commonplace for me to start preparing for the show, like on Wednesday, Thursday, recording clips or whatever, Friday, putting them all together, doing the show, and then Monday, spending all day editing whatever I got to do, uploading the shows, getting them out, doing the enhanced podcast, boom, Tuesday, and then starting all over again. That not having anything, any of that stuff to do, I was just like, what's the point, man? Why even bother with anything, man?
It was like last week. I wasn't sure when we were starting back up. I'm like, are we doing this show tonight?
I think my answer was, who cares?
Oh, come on. You got some reading in, some gaming in.
Yeah, I did.
Wasn't that bad?
Whenever I was done with the game, I was like, what does it all mean, man?
Just a game.
This is really deep, but I'm not in the mood to analyze it.
Then I go sleep outside in the bushes or something. Wake up.
Stare at the stars.
Millipede in my hair, and it'd scream. It's awesome. But hey, we're back, right? So I don't have to worry about all that. what am I talking about? I had a blast. Since my daughter's been off school, we've been having adventures all the time, you know? I've got her watching Hell's Kitchen with me every week, Bill. Of course, I don't, you know.
Somehow that just sounds wrong.
I know. I even changed the name of it. She calls it Smell's Kitchen. Because I don't want my six-year-old daughter talking about hell all the time.
Because there's so many great smells come out of the kitchen.
So hey, she's like, Smell's Kitchen. And she'll remind me of stuff while we're watching it. Hey, she's the one who put too much salt in the spaghetti last week. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Damn, you got to be on the show with us every week. Remind me.
Really paying attention.
And, you know, she loves the Cake Boss. Hey, we have Buddy back, huh?
Who doesn't love the Cake Boss? He's like that retarded kid at school that everyone likes.
You know what, Buddy? Like, TLC loves the hell out of him. They even had some kind of competition show with him and the rest of the bakers from Carla's Bakery.
Yeah, I saw that before the episodes last week.
I watched that episode, and I was like, wow, they're just letting him do whatever he wants. And they've even announced he has his own show coming up. It's a competition, like America's Best Baker or something.
Oh,
like, whatever.
He's a lovable moron, but, I mean, I'm not going to watch everything he's involved in.
I want to hear him narrate more because he can't talk. He just...
it's not that he can't talk. He can't read. He puts the inflection in the wrong places.
Yes. My favorite thing, we're going to get to this later, but, Bill, when he tries to say Sphinx...
Yeah, I thought he was talking about Michael Spinks.
I can't wait for that. So that's going to be exciting. We also have True Blood to talk about, Bill. True Blood is back, and there's no Marianne character.
Yeah, but Tara's still there.
Yeah, but, you know, what does she get, like 5 minutes per show or whatever? They're really, like, dicing it up between characters. But we also have this new show, Steven. I kept trying to get you to watch it.
I've watched it.
Work of Art.
Yes.
The Next Great Art. It's not America. It's not in there.
America's Greatest Artist.
America's Greatest Artist of All Time is and also we have Penn and Teller Bullshit. It's going to be an exciting day, and I've also been watching a lot of The Good Guys, Bill, with Bradley Whitford.
Yeah, I totally Hanks. Dig that show. Bradley Whitford's a nut.
Yeah, I watch it.
It's a great show. Every week that show has something that you can quote that's hilarious, you know?
Well, generally it's from Bradley, too. So,
yeah.
I mean,
there was a line that, Bill, we were talking about. He's like, give me a sweat sock and $3 and pennies, $3 and pennies, and I'll get some answers.
Just my favorite is still the, we need to get some medicine for this computer machine.
Yeah. I love how he calls it the computer machine. Was it the first episode or second episode where he's trying to figure out how to turn a laptop on? He's just like, oh, and he wants to smash it. The guy's like, whoa, hold on. And he goes, bling. And he goes, oh, you got it to work. Cool. He's just about to shoot it. So we have that to
talk
about.
Must have been the second episode because I didn't see that one. I missed that one.
Every episode, I love it, man. And they film it here in Texas, Dallas somewhere or whatever.
Over in the...
Stuff like that. I'm sure
you need to get an
interview
with, what's his name? Colin Hanks.
I saw that tweet you retweeted is him, how he cools off while shooting, and it was him sitting in front of a giant fan.
It's one of those massive fans, those factory fans. Because
it gets hot. It's been hot as hell here this week.
Yeah, if they're shooting in the summertime.
It's the kind of hot here that when you get in the car, you have like 3 seconds before you're going to die. Turn the car on, quick, roll the windows. You're going to, just dead. Just took too long. So, yeah, okay, what the hell am I talking about?
But, Texas heat.
Like you said, Bill.
The stifling heat of Texas.
Been reading a lot of books and stuff, and we'll talk about the – when we have more to talk about the book club, we have some exciting things coming up, and I won't announce anything until we have something to release, right? Something finished is what I'm going to say. So, because, you know, all booked up with a lot of things to do. And
something completely edited and ready to unleash upon the masses.
Correct. But we do have, guys, lots of voicemail. People wanting to talk to us, tell us things, and I'm excited to play these. Our first voicemail is from Adam. And Adam actually sent 3 different voicemails over the course of our break, and I edited them all into one big Adam voicemail. Cool. Let's check it out. What's up, Adam?
Nowhere in Mulberry. It's Adam from the Bay Area. How are you guys doing? Hey, it's Tuesday, day after Memorial Day. Getting ready to download the episode 204 and listen to it at work tomorrow. But I'm giving my son a bath and putting away some laundry and stuff like that. And I'm listening to 202 again. And I'm about an hour and 48 minutes into it. And I've come to the part where you guys are talking about Fringe, about the scene where, excuse me, I don't know the show that well, so I may be wrong on some facts, but I believe it's Peter in the alternate universe finally sees his mom and she asks him about Bacon, and Jason was saying how he thought it was just done right, and if it was Heroes, they would have said, I like Bacon, and I love you. And so then Steven played off of that, and Steven said, what is Bacon? it's like the first time through, I did not really catch that. Maybe I caught it, but I was dying. It's really, really funny to me. Bacon.
They would ask that
about it. So I don't want to tell Foggy what to do here, but maybe it could be a draft because I thought it was pretty funny. Well, guys, looking forward to listening to episode 204.
Hope you enjoy.
What is bacon? Oh, yeah. Bill's doing a new segment on Old School, episode 121, and it's about this lady that pulls a knife on her boyfriend while they were watching a porno at 10:30 in the morning because she thought that he was in the porno, and so she was, like, all upset, I guess. And Bill said something like, I know that's you. I know that birthmark anywhere. And I just thought that was hilarious. So anyways, guys, I don't know if you guys released a show this Tuesday, because I haven't checked my iTunes, because my iPod's acting kind of wacky, but it is able to play older episodes.
No, so
anyways, I sure hope there is a new episode out, because I'd like to listen to it. But anyways, hey, man, I hope everything is all well with everybody in the,
hey,
in
there was
the NIMH crew.
What am I thinking?
And I guess I'll talk to you guys later. One of these days, I'd love to call in again. I've just been busy. And Jason, come on, buddy, can you I have never called in to NIM on my cell phone. I've always used Skype. So if you could somehow send me an email or something with the number so that I can just beep, bop, boop, beep, beep, dial up on my cell phone so I can call you guys. Because when I have to load Skype, I have to set up my mom's laptop. I have to get out my microphone, my headphones, plug it. It's like a big hassle. And I could just get the phone number so I can save that in my phone, like I have the voicemail line, that would be sweet, because I've only taken the number down that one time, and then it was disconnected or something like that, and I think it was for show 200, and so I didn't save it because I figured, oh, well, this must be the wrong number or something. So anyways, that was explaining that, and rambled on, and this is boring. Hey, I just wanted to say that I started work today at around 6:15, and it's now 4:45, and I'm finally getting off work, and I had like a 20-minute lunch break. I got a long drive ahead of me, and I'm thinking to myself, it's okay, because I've got NIM to listen to. It's not even a new episode. Probably can listen to episode 123, old school, but you know what? It's comforting to be able to put on the podcast, drive home, yes, and enjoy what I'm listening to. It's better than hearing some politician-type guy on the radio blabbing on about God knows what. And it's better hearing about sports that I could care less about. And it's, amen, better than hearing.
He's speaking the gospel, isn't he?
Other random, stupid music that's fuzzy. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate what you guys do, and you're some of the best at it out there. And just wanted to say that. So, anyways, have a good one. Bye.
All right, Adam. Thanks. That's like the best compliment ever. We're there for you, so you don't have to listen to bad political radio or sports or any of that. There's always nowhere in Mulberry to listen to. There's hours of entertainment available, right?
I can't believe that people actually listen to that shit, that Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity crap. Ugh.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather listen to somebody talk about kitchen nightmares? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would.
I put out two mashups.
I used to listen to NPR every day, and I got so friggin' bored with it that I forget what channel it is now.
You know what? I figured out. I got to tell you guys something. This is going to sound really kind of just like ridiculous, or I don't know how it's going to sound, but over the course of our little break, it was like 4 months or something. Our last show, 204. I figured out what my meaning in life is, and I had like this moment. I almost had like a dream or epiphany where I actually cured someone who was dying by making them laugh in my dream. I'm totally serious. And when I woke up,
I don't know whether to think that that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, listen. I've been put here to entertain people, to make them laugh. That's why I'm here. That's what I think it is. And that's what I got from that dream. What do you guys think?
Someone spoke to you from high above and bestowed you the happy maker.
I think I just came up with that on my own, really. You know, but if I talk about it in a mystical way, it's kind of like what direction I want is this. Oh, so if you don't,
it's your mind saying that you enjoy doing this.
Yes.
Hilarious.
Adam. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying, that without this show, I don't know what I'd do, because I want to do the show to entertain people.
You have cured somebody.
Who?
Adam, of boredom.
Yeah, there you go.
Jason,
there
you go. Come on, buddy.
Thanks, Adam. So, yeah, anyway, I'm going to move on from there. Oh, and by the way, Adam was talking about, hey, I wonder if you had a show this week. I put out two Kitchen Nightmares mashup episodes. Then I listened to him. One of our listeners, Julian, did. He did enhanced versions. Really cool. Like, each picture is the different restaurant as we talk about it. It was really badass. And I put it on the forum for everybody to check out. You know, it's like, hey, this will fill the gap while we're taking a break. Right, Bill?
Yeah. And I thought they did a good job of that every week. I listened to them. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Well, nobody seemed to care. No one really gave a shit. So everybody can go to hell. All right, so here's another voicemail. I would look every day, Bill, and see a zero in the comments. Just say, hey, guys, it was great to revisit these old episodes. Something.
They knew we weren't doing a new show.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, what is this little shit, the nugget of shit they threw up here to appease us? Screw them. Screw the Mulberry Boys. They can go to hell. That's the way I felt. You know, you shit all over me. Here I am, been put on this earth to make you laugh. That's what you do? Go to hell. Oh, sorry. What happened? I was all mystical there for a second. Now I'm all angry. I don't know what's going on.
It's all over the place.
I really lost it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing that I think we've all learned here is...
What is bacon?
Exactly.
It's terrific.
It's a pork product, right?
It's brought sense.
All right. Here's a voicemail from Derek. Let's check it out.
Hey, Nomer and Mulberry, Derek from Denver again, and I just wanted to thank Bill and Jaystrom for your incredible time spent on talking about Lost. I really thought you guys did a fantastic job of talking about what you appreciated about the finale. I subscribe to a whole bunch of different Lost podcasts, and I love them all, but a lot of people just really shit on the finale, and I really didn't even like listening to them, but you guys really honored the spirit of the show, and I completely agree with how you responded to the show. I'm right there with you guys. I'm a little embarrassed to talk about it getting dusty in the room throughout the finale, but Giacchino's music certainly did contribute to that. So thank you guys very much for sharing that, and really looking forward to you coming back after the break, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
Thanks a lot, Derek. It was really just, you know, our gut reactions from it, I would say.
Lost was, it was a perfect ending, personally.
That's what I was about to ask you. What did you think of it?
Shut up, Steven.
Since I was stuck in friggin' Wisconsin.
So you enjoyed it, right?
Yes, yeah.
So I was waiting for you to go, it sucks.
No. I had no problem with the ending
You know
all.
What's funny is the, I had a very good reaction.
And I wanted more, is all.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I can't wait for the Blu-ray set. I want to see the extra scenes.
I got an email from my uncle, who never writes me that way, you know, on an email. But he was like, dude, what the hell was that, man? What'd you think of it? He's like, I don't know what the hell to understand. I don't understand any of it. Oh, well, talk to you later. It's like,
when someone says, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
You can't exactly take it as, man, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was parts of that finale where my mind was like, what the F is going on? But it's just like, be patient, you just watch it, you know, kind of thing. There are times in Lost where you think that.
Yeah, you're getting choked up by scenes.
Yeah,
and
but I think it should be legal, or it should have been legal, Lost is over, to shoot anyone in your house that says out loud, oh, they're just making this shit up as they go, just shoot them, drop dead on the ground. It's legal. You're allowed to do that. What do you guys think?
I think that's the most irritating argument for Lost of all time, and that people that do make it should, in fact, be shot in the back of the head.
You know what's funny, though? When I was talking about comments, like zero comments, because there's also the opposite side of that where the comments you don't want at all. There's always somebody in this just every time – everywhere on Facebook, whatever, forums, whatever, Entertainment Weekly, comments, whatever, someone always has to say, I never watched Lost. You know, they always had to chime in. Hey, well, guess what? I never watched Lost.
Then why are you commenting?
Why are you commenting? Nobody, you know.
Nobody asked.
I stopped watching Lost in episode 8 or so when I realized they were making it up. Typing away.
Those are the same people that go, I don't own a TV.
Yeah. I don't watch television.
The only thing I watch is the news.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I listen to is NPR.
Sorry,
you're a boring asshole with a stick up your ass.
Oh, so you're a douchebag. Well, nice to meet you. I wish I could say it's nice to meet you, but I'm about to leave now.
I want to go watch something entertaining on TV.
So I'm just saying, what compels people to say, like, hey, you know, hey, oh, yeah, Lost, yeah, whatever. Oh, wait, guys, I just want to interrupt you to tell you guys something. I never watched the show.
I don't own a TV. Well, I can't it's own like, one big enough. I want a bigger one.
Yeah, we want the biggest TV we can find and watch it as many hours a day as we can.
If I could get paid for watching TV, pay me, I would do
Hell
it.
Hell yeah!
Holy shit, I want that job. I'd watch more.
I know! My heroes are the people who get paid to talk about TV shows. Yeah. There are people like on these blogs who are like, hey, I just got set the Sons of Anarchy preview set of the first four episodes. And it's like, oh my god, who do you like the luckiest dude ever? But
you son of a bitch!
Yeah, I hate you! But, yeah, that's what we want to do someday. I want to get sent all this
shit and die.
Wouldn't that be great? We need preview copies of new seasons of shows.
How do you do that?
I don't know. Somebody hook us up.
I really want preview copies of shows. There's always, like, that guy on Ain't It Cool News, Herc, that always tweets, well, just got my preview copy of whatever and whatever.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
You know, and we... Like, I'm excited about the new TV season. And there's new shows even premiering in the summer that I'd love to plug. And we don't
I love the
it.
Summer season. I mean, it's,
I do too.
It's lighthearted and it's, you know, there's nothing really that heavy on like, during the summer.
I keep talking about the show Persons Unknown that's on NBC.
Yeah, he's asking so me bad. About it.
And I'm like, I want people to watch it with me. It's like these people, they're in. It's not lost. It's not the quality of acting or writing, but it's fun. You know what I'm saying? It's these people, they don't know why they're in this town with cameras mm-hmm. everywhere watching them. And they get, sometimes they get little clues or something that they can find their way.
It interests me and I just didn't know when it started.
It's an interesting premise. You almost wish like, okay, this is a summer show and they didn't spend much money and they filmed it in Mexico. So they're doing what they can with it.
They filmed it in Mexico?
Yeah.
I thought they filmed it in Canada.
That's a little bit higher budget when you're in Canada.
Oh, really?
And then,
that's funny.
But it's a fun show, and Alan Ruck's in it, and there's always a moment in it where it just annoys the shit out of me, or somebody yells something that no one in their right mind would ever say.
I just can't get into it being that there's so many moments that just make me groan.
Yeah.
That I'm just like, oh,
you gotta
come
keep
on.
Watching it. I
come
love
on.
It you're, for those
you
moments.
You mean you watch Smallville and you groan through that? You can't groan there's through
this. This is particularly – Smallville's bad because they think they're winning.
No, I think you're over – you're making it worse than it is. It's not that bad. I'm
going to
say.
Yeah, but I just keep going back to the moment in the first episode where they're all waking up. And the girl comes out of the room and goes, oh, I got to get to a phone.
Well, she's hungover,
right? What the hell are you talking about?
Well, my favorite is this.
Who does not have a cell phone? Are you a hobo?
This one lady yells at a camera. She goes, we're human beings. Oh, okay. Didn't know
that. I am not an animal.
But it's a fun show. And just, you know, what I'm saying is I love to talk about even those kind of shows. So we should get sent preview copies.
I'll have to...
Yeah, it's all on Hulu.
They're only allowed to send me preview copies of stuff I want to watch.
No, you'd have to watch anything. I think the way it works.
Would you have to just write to Fox and all that?
I'm not watching probably. Memphis Beat.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
I'm yes, you will you, watch
Steven. It. Steven, you can watch it.
All right, guys. We got another voicemail. This one from Sean. Hey, Sean. We haven't heard from you for a while. Let's check it out.
Hey Mulberry, it's Sean here in Los Angeles. It's been far, far too long since the last Mulberry. Been missing it very dearly. Miss you guys. But hope you guys are having a good break and some well-deserved time off. Hoping you get to watch lots of TV shows and movies. Just wanted to say hello.
Hi.
So you guys can have the voicemail for your next show, whenever that may be. Just wanted to say... that I really enjoyed the last episode, which came out like a month ago, but so I don't really remember a lot of it, but definitely I remember the Lost Talk, which was epic. I'm sad that Steven couldn't partake in that, but
us too,
you know,
yes.
Jason and Bill, you guys did a really good job of breaking down the episode and spending a lot of time on it. And even though your show is really good at being funny and witty, when it comes to things that you guys are interested in, you guys can also talk about things in a very thoughtful and serious way that's really, you know, engaging and intriguing. So I thought that discussion was excellent and lived up to the awesomeness of the finale, or the awesomeness of what I thought the finale was. And some people may have hated it, but I'm with you guys in saying that I loved it. So,
nice.
On Twitter, Mulberry Bill expressed his disappointment with Toy Story 3, and I had a little back and forth exchange with him. And hopefully, Bill, you can talk about it on the show more in detail about what you didn't like about it, because with Twitter, we only have 140 characters to talk or to converse with. So definitely, your show will be a much better means of communication. So, yes, I will eagerly await your next show, fellas. So, yes. Until then, take care. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you, Sean. And like I said before, Stephen, I'm sorry you weren't there with the Lost Talk.
You know where I was. I was stuck in Wisconsin Airport for...
But we were thinking about you in spirit.
5 hours waiting for my next...
He was there in spirit. Well, yeah, there was a couple clips that were played that reminded us of him.
That's right.
Well, I mean, Stephen, you
agreed with everything he had to say.
Well, you're like, can I call you? I'm like, I'll be boarding a plane when you guys are starting to talk, you know. And I don't think we landed till almost midnight that night. And so.
Wow. You were really at home, weren't you, Stephen?
I wish.
He loves those planes.
Good Lord.
Steven, you love airplanes, right?
Yes.
All right.
Just got off.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steven.
But, Bill, talk about Toy Story 3 coming up here on the entertainment.
I can't really say a whole lot because you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so. I definitely want to take my daughter to see it, but we also can't wait to see The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go ahead and check out this voicemail from Rick, and then we'll talk about some movies, huh? Rick!
Hey, guys, I got to tell you, I'm very excited about going to see Sex in the City 2. Yes, you might be thinking, why do you want to go and see that? Well, I'll tell you why.
Who isn't, right?
So I can walk out of there and get my money back. Yeah, I just want to go there so I can walk out on it and just screw you, I'm out. So, yeah, that's why I'm really excited about going to watch it. And at my local cinema, if you walk out within half an hour of it starting, you can get your money back. So, yeah, it's going to be a good finger to that movie, which is, I don't know why it's been stupid. Anyway, Sex and the City, gotta love it.
Don't worry. Yeah, sorry about that. Don't worry, I didn't go and see Sex and the City. I was just playing around. But my wife, she actually went to see it. And Rick, man, what the... Get your words together, man. And she usually likes girly movies because she's a girl. No, wait, I was supposed to say she usually likes shitty movies because she's a girl. Yeah. Okay, moving along. And she didn't even like this movie. Yeah, that was that bad. She wanted to walk out after 10 minutes. I went to pick her up after the movie. I got there, right? She comes out, and I'm like, how was it? She's like, it was crap. I left before it finished. I'm like, you walked out before it finished? High five! Yeah, at least somebody got to walk out before the end. You didn't get your money back, but still, you walked out on it. Yeah.
I wouldn't leave without getting my money back.
I did go to see Prince of Persia, Men in Tights. Anyway, what's it called? Prince of Persia, King of Thieves? No, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, or Throne Within, Two Thrones, King of Thieves? No, I already said that, Rick. You can't say it twice, and then it sounds like you don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, I went to see that Prince of Persia movie with Maggie Gyllenhaal's brother in it. And I was like, man, you know who would have been heaps better in this role? Maggie Gyllenhaal. She's heaps more manly than Jake. That's not even a joke, Rick. Why are you laughing at that? I don't know. I just thought it would be good to laugh. So anyway, my wife was getting her hair done, which cost $230. What the hell?
What?
$230 to get your hair? What did you do?
Did you put gold flakes
in your scalp? Anyway, so I've got some time to kill. I'm going to go watch some stupid movie while you're getting your stupid hair done. No, I'm just kidding. I love your hair. anyway, cool. My brother said, yeah, let's watch Prince of Persia. It's going to be crap. We'll sit there and have a laugh.
It's going to be crap.
And yeah, well, right. It was kind of crap, but not enough to make fun of it. It just felt like it was in a set, like all the time, like, that looks like a set. That looks like a set. There's a few that weren't. But what interested me the most was, I'm like, this dude looks familiar. Who the heck is that? Is that freaking Simon Pegg? No, it's not Simon Pegg. But he looks English. Where do I know? He's got a beard. Oh, what the hell? That's Jeff from Coupling. Holy crap. Awesome. He's a champion. If you haven't watched Coupling, it's a good show. So watch Coupling. But
never seen it.
This Jeff from Coupling. So whenever I was watching it, I was just thinking about him. So I just kind of like, I couldn't concentrate. But it was dumb, and the whole movie just didn't even happen. Yeah, I just gave it away. The whole movie didn't happen. Well, mainly most of it didn't happen. Yeah, but it doesn't
spoiler
matter.
Alert! Come
and
on.
I'm trying to put in little elements of, like, you know, in the game how he's good at jumping around. Here's him jumping around. Excellent. Yeah, wasn't that great? They should have got someone else to do the filming of it, as you couldn't tell what was going on. And I was just like, and someone else was like, Casino Royale did it so much better. Why didn't you get someone who knew what they're doing to film this movie and make it look sweet and stuff? This was Rick from Australia. All right, guys, let's get into entertainment. Yeah. Sorry if I'm taking any liberties there.
Oh, you can cut only this I bit do out that, too, Rick,
if you want.
Sorry.
If you actually do want to use that as a straight in intro. Rick, just finish it now. You stop. Please, stop.
All right, Rick, thanks. And hey, like you said, let's do entertainment! And, you know, on the break, I did see a few movies. I saw The A-Team. What about you, Bill? Did you see The A-Team?
I did see The A-Team.
I enjoyed it. It's a big, dumb, stupid movie, but I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. I like The Losers better as far as buddy, you know, action movie goes.
I as well. But I love the cast of The A-Team. But I do still think Jessica Biel is a big dork. And
she may have an incredible body, but man, is she a horrible actress.
She really is. She's horrible. I don't understand why she's in movies. Oh, well, I do understand.
Because she has an incredible body.
Yeah, but she's just like the way she acts, and she's supposed to be an agent or something, and there's men following her orders. I'm just like, not buying it. Not. You know,
you might as well put on a pair of fake black horn-rimmed glasses and nerd up yourself.
Just not buying it. Just suspension of disbelief. Not
get a makeover.
It just doesn't work. But yeah, that was a fun movie. And Bill, like you were saying, you saw Toy Story 3. And
I did.
Before you mention this, I remember way back when, because, you know, the reviews of Toy Story 3 are like really good, like 90 percentile.
Yeah, across the board. I think it's got to have like a 98% or 100% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think that negative reviews actually are good to hear when a movie is really well reviewed across the board. It's good to hear some negative reaction, such as like Ratatouille when that came out. A certain artist that I really respect kind of talked about Ratatouille and why it just didn't work for him. Why he was actually offended by the moral to the story. And I, you know, read it and I thought, oh, this is very interesting, his take on it, whatever. And everybody's got their opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm interested on what, without, like you said, giving away too much about the story, what is it about Toy Story that bothered you, really?
It is unrelentingly depressing. I mean, that
and
is...
it's a kid's movie.
That's it. It is just depressing as all hell.
Why is Pixar always trying to make us cry is what I want to know.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what I felt like through this entire movie, that they were trying to wring the tears out of me that they got from the beginning and end of Up.
And you were being
manipulated.
It's like,
well, let's just stretch an entire long, depressing story arc about toys being abandoned and shit like that. I was just like, wow, I understand the whole growing up and moving on stuff, but you don't got to beat me over the head with it for 2 hours.
Well, remember in Toy Story 2, the story about the doll that got left behind? She thought she was going.
That is the entire third movie.
It's just like, hey, let's do that, but for the whole movie.
Yeah, that is it. That is the entire third movie.
Let me ask you this. When you saw this in the theater, were there kids crying everywhere?
Yes.
What's that all about?
Because they were scared shitless.
Great.
There are moments in this movie that are so over the top scary for anyone under 6 years old that I would warn their parents to see it first.
And they're probably taking their kids to see it, right? In 3D, no doubt.
I just, the entire movie did not sit well with me. I felt offended that Pixar would release something like this at this level of like philosophical statement of growing up and moving on and becoming a new person. And it was too much.
Was it whoever wrote it, someone kind of saying goodbye to the characters or something?
Honestly, if this is their goodbye, I F them. I mean, I was just like, this is no goodbye. This is depressing.
You know what, Bill? You've convinced me. We're going to go see The Last Airbender next week, and we're going to watch this on Blu-ray when it comes out.
Yeah, I would really recommend waiting for the Blu-ray because, I mean, I'll buy the Blu-ray just to complete the set, but it's not the one that I'm going to be putting in first. First one was great. Mm-hmm. Second one was pretty damn terrific. But this it's a sour note in the trilogy for me.
Okay, yeah. That's interesting. I almost want to see it now to see what you're talking about, you know?
Oh, once you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious.
Is there a part, because I've been in movies where you're like, come on! You like say it out loud, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Yeah, that
In fact, there might be two moments of that.
I'll never forget seeing the movie that I'm going to blank on when I'm going to say it, the Anthony Hopkins movie, Legends of the Fall, where one bad thing happens after another to that family, where I finally just go, come on, movie! You know, like, are you shitting me? When the hell's a cougar going to bust in the window and maul everyone to death, you know? That's what you're waiting for, right? It's like only so much you can take.
Yeah, and that's what was wrong with the Toy Story. It's just there was some really, really dark, dark shit going on.
Maybe Toy Story, Pixar, I'm ready for them to do an adult kind of. I mean, everyone, you could debate that it's all adult fare also, what they do. But I'm saying not aimed at kids, do an adult film.
Wouldn't you have to say that John Carter of Mars is going to be more adult?
I would hope so. And I mean, like, try to do...
I mean, the book is certainly adult. It's not a young adult book.
I mean, aim for realism with the bodies of the figures and stuff like that, the way people look. Not do the cartoony kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's what they're kind of going for, the whole Avatar thing with John Carter.
That I'm excited about. Okay, I'll check that out.
And it's Andrew Stanton, who I trust. I tell you what, if they ever have this guy that directed Toy Story 3 direct another movie, I'm gonna be leery.
So
this Lee Unkrich or something. I mean, he is a I think he was the main problem.
Is it true Toy Story 3 ends the same way The Mist does? That's what I've heard. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my God!
Shoot themselves, except Woody, and then the army comes down the road, and Woody screams.
Oh my God! I can't handle that again, Bill.
Woody kills everyone.
The plastic army man. So Bill,
I can tell you this without spoiling anything. The plastic army men duck out of the movie very early.
Interesting.
Like, the moment the toys know that this is it for them, the army men are gone.
Awesome.
That's it.
Army men are timeless. Any kid's going to pick them up, right? Mm-hmm. They can just live out in the lawn or something.
I had my fair share of them.
And I'll tell you what, there are some moments in this movie where they could have really used the army men.
Oh, my God. All right.
I'm not exaggerating or making a joke. I am 100% serious.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill. How excited are you for The Last Airbender?
I am so excited. You have no idea.
And it seems like a lot of people are kind of cool on it. You know, they're not sure what to expect. But the cartoon is really awesome, right?
I had heard talk of people being obsessed over the cartoon and being upset that M. Night was making the movie. So I was like, you know what? I'm kind of interested. I'm going to check this out. I saw it was on Netflix. So I started watching it. I couldn't stop. I watched they separate the three season into books. It's books 1, 2, and 3. And each one addresses a different element in the world of Avatar.
Right.
And it is so obsessive. Like, I just, the moment I started watching it, I fell in love with these characters. So I'm so excited to see the first season, this book one, in movie form.
Right.
And I hope it does well. I'm really looking forward to M. Night's vision on it. I trust the guy as a director. I know a lot of people love to rag on him, but the only movie I ever had a problem of his was The Happening, and I think that came down to the actors.
Yeah,
I think the script was strong enough that if there would have been good actors in it, I think it could have been a good film. And I love Lady in the Water. I think it's one of the best fairy tale movies ever. I can watch it anytime without any problem whatsoever.
When I first saw it, I was like, why did people have a problem with this movie?
Right.
I didn't get it.
Well, it's the expectations. Now, with The Last Airbender, there's one thing you have to worry about, and hopefully he captures a lot of the excitement of the cartoon, but it's just, it's truncated storyline, right?
Sure, because it's an entire season.
And you can only hope that there will be like an extended video release when it comes out.
I certainly hope so. I know he wrote the script along with the co-creators of the show.
Awesome. And
I think they probably distilled it down pretty well.
My daughter loves that show, and she watches it every night. They rerun it on Nicktoons channel. And she watches them. I don't even know if she knows the storyline in sequence or how in sequence they are, but she does all the moves with her hands and stuff, like the main character. And so I know she's ready to go see that. So it's going to be fun. And I have a week to watch the first season on Netflix. All three seasons are on Netflix streaming. So I'm going to try.
Yeah, I just got it. Yeah, I wanted to own it. And I think last week, they released this new special edition season with an extra disc and a little book and stuff. And I just picked it up, and I was going to start watching it again this week.
Nice. Now, then another movie, we're going to go ahead and move on to TiVo, but I just want to say Inception looks really cool. And no matter how much I see on it, I don't understand what the hell's going on. They even explain it now. They try to explain it in the trailer, and I'm like, no, what now? And then the commercial's over. But anyway, it looks cool, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's something about it that I go, okay, this looks nutty, but I'm going to give it a chance.
I like the one that does that sound, vroom, whatever, and that shows shit blowing up or whatever. And
yeah, the scalar weapon.
So basically, here's what I think the movie is. Leonardo DiCaprio is kind of like Freddy Krueger. That's what I think it is. Do you guys think I'm right? He's stalking Juno in the movie is what I think is going on.
I may be wrong.
That's kind of what I think is going on. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVos or something like that. Now, guys, Buddy, the cake boss. Oh, Buddy, it's been so long, hasn't it? There's been so many episodes since it's funny. It's like we're on break and I'm like, there's too many episodes of the show. They show two every Monday.
Yeah, they burn them off twice.
How are we ever going to catch up? We're not. But I will say this. There's been a lot of shitty cakes since the show's come on. Like that first episode when Mama, she announces her retirement. Have you noticed she's been on every episode since then?
Mm-hmm.
He did a cake for, was it the mayor?
Yes, it was for some party the mayor was in.
And it was like, it represented New Jersey. Just shit all over it. Looked like crap.
You know what? It was totally wrong. It should have been of a shitty ocean and a bunch of bronzed people with greasy hair.
It should have been like the troll doll looking dudes.
Yes.
But hey, I've never been to Jersey. But why is everyone who's from New Jersey so like, hey, I'm from Jersey?
Kind of so irritating.
Yeah, what's that about?
I don't. Yeah, good understand. For you. You're from a shithole. Wonderful.
Hey, I want to go to Hoboken. But
I guess whenever you're from a state that is a notorious dump, you kind of got to get like defensive about it. Like, yeah, I'm hardcore. I'm from New Jersey.
I'll cut you, man. It's like, ooh, you know.
I love my Jersey.
You'll go to jail then. You know, it's like
Jersey smells like ass, but I love that smell.
Sure smells like ass, but I'll still miss her, right?
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Exactly. Now, on this episode, this girl, she wants to have an Egyptian cake. She wants to have a big birthday party, like Egyptian pyramids, dressed like Cleopatra. How's that sound, Stephen? Pretty cool?
Yeah.
Well, buddy, he's like really excited. This sounds like it'd be really cool. And he starts talking about the hieroglyphics that he's going to paint on them. Let's hear buddy talk about the hieroglyphics.
This Egyptian cake, I'm going to have three tiers coming out. On the middle tier, I'm going to hand paint hieroglyphics and all different old school Egyptian designs.
Hieroglyphics.
Second tier is going to be a cube shape, which is going to have actual modeling chocolate sculptures of Cleopatra and Nephertites. To top it off, there's going to be an ancient pyramid. And then we'll add all kinds of girly stuff. It's really going to be funky. I'm going to fill the top portion with red velvet and cream cheese, and the bottom portion with vanilla and chocolate.
Wait till
I got
Remy
carving a pyramid out of cereal treats, and that's going to top off our cake.
I don't want to sound stupid, but
too late.
Isn't a pyramid three sides?
No. The ones in Mexico, they have four sides.
The one in Mexico?
Yeah, but what about the ones in Egypt?
I'm leading the blind.
He's an Egyptian.
I just went to Egypt on the computer. It has four sides.
I was wrong.
Four sides.
I was wrong.
Wait a minute. Let's mark this. What did you say?
I was wrong.
All right.
So let it be written.
So let it be done.
Ramsey.
Okay?
Like Pharaoh would say.
Whoa. For this Egyptian cake, I wanted to be very authentic. So we did a little research, we found out some different things, and we're really trying to implement that into the cake. So for these sphinxes, we got to start with a cereal treat base.
The what?
Okay, and then we got to cover it in modeling chocolate. You know, really get super detailed in there. To incorporate the girly stuff that Jessica wanted, I'm going to add some purple colors to the cake. I'm going to add some purple stripes and some gold.
For the pyramid, we're stamping
Jesus Christ, turn down the music.
We're going to add a layer of brown sugar to look like sand.
Jesus.
What I'm focusing on is doing some hand painting of the hieroglyphics inside.
This definitely pulled it together.
Some of those, what do you call that, calligraphy things?
Edible markers.
It looks exactly like calligraphy marks.
On the bottom tier, I'm going to hand paint hieroglyphics and all different old school Egyptian designs.
How do you like the hieroglyphics?
Hieroglyphics. They look good.
Finally takes one of the girls there to go hieroglyphics. He's like, oh,
yeah, I think it's that sunshine, the only one that actually uses 10% of her brain.
Hieroglyphics, the calligraphies or something. Yeah, that's it, buddy. And you know, as
my favorite part of that clip is when his brother-in-law, the Mexican guy, goes in Mexico. He goes in Mexico. Like, that was the first time I think Buddy ever pronounced Mexico.
Well, he goes, in Mexico, there are four sides. He goes, in Mexico? And he goes, Egyptian pyramids, like, dummy. You know, like, he's being degrading to him.
You stupid Mexican.
Yeah, like, I'm talking about Egyptian pyramids. Hello, dummy.
We're talking pyramids, dude.
You know, the ones with hieroglyphics all over them? But, man, it gets better because the NASDAQ lady from the New York, you know, they have that giant, you know, New York and Times Square, all those buildings have the scrolling pictures and everything. What do you call that thing that displays the
Megatron?
Right, the Megatron. That's right. That's what Buddy calls it, the giant Megatron. Because I believe they're called Jumbotrons, right?
Yes, they are.
But Buddy, He calls it the Megatrons. Let's see how many times he says Megatron. Apparently, he's pushing the new Transformers 2 that just came out on Blu-ray, I think.
Yeah. Buddy, pick up on mine, too.
There's an awesome bass in the show, by the way.
Hi, is this Buddy?
Yes, this is Buddy.
Hi, Buddy. This is Sylvia Davi. I'm a vice president of corporate communications at the NASDAQ.
What are you calling me for? I'm an idiot.
NASDAQ celebrating 10-year anniversary of the very famous NASDAQ Market Site building in the heart of Times Square.
They call Times Square the crossroads of the world. I mean, that's like the heart of New York City. It's got billboards everywhere.
Does it take him to do
right
this?
In the middle of all of this is the NASDAQ Tower. It has one of the largest Megatron screens in the world.
Everywhere.
You want this big, big cake.
It's
with
even
all
got life-size cereal treats.
Screen outside. And on top of that, they want it to light up. So my idea for this NASDAQ cake is to make the tower. It's going to have the big Megatron screen on top. It's going to have everything that they want to say. I want this cake to
it's
feel like
it's got the Optimus
the
Prime on top.
Streets, people walking
it's
around.
I've got the star screen, not doing things right.
It's even got the Scatman Crothers at the bottom.
I thought about maybe putting a flat screen
like
in
the
it, and
prime.
I said, but it's not edible.
He put so much bullshit on
this
cake.
This luster dust is an edible luster dust, which we put on that has
sound
like a shimmer,
wave
a
on the bottom.
And if I put it in black disco, and I put it on the fondant, it would kind of like twinkle, like a
we've even got the black guy from the movie.
Megatrons,
you know, the Tyrese.
Like little squares within a big, big square, and that's what I figured I'd do. Blinging, blinging, baby. It's going to work. So I cut out black squares of fondant, and I dip them in the disco.
All right.
Now it looks nice and shiny. And we start to assemble them.
Where was
because
Sunshine
when you look
to
at
correct
these Megatrons, them? It's like all little squares within a big, big square.
Oh,
and it's
the
gonna
Megatrons.
Look like
okay.
a big Megatron screen.
Okay, it looks like the NASDAQ Tower.
Bear the words to the Megatron. This looks
stop saying
great.
Megatron.
So my idea to make this Megatron screen is to take strobe lights, shoot it at him, and the light is going
to... We got edible Megatron cubes.
It's look like a real thing.
Wow. Moron!
How could... You know, I actually get angry at the production staff that is there.
Correct.
Because somebody can't stop the camera or, you know, stop filming for a second and go, buddy, it's Jumbotron.
I don't want to sound stupid,
you know,
but
bet if they did, he'd probably argue with them. No, I'm pretty sure it's Megatron.
Hey, who's the cake boss over here, huh?
Yeah, there's a reason his mom's the boss and he's just the cake boss.
You know, I love the episode where the knight comes in from medieval times and he's like, the king of medieval times wants a cake. And I like how the sister's like, whoa, he's got a sword and stuff. You know, they have to do their little acting. But one thing I noticed, you guys have been to medieval times, right?
Yes.
When you walk in, there's a strong odor of horse shit when you walk
horse
in.
Horse shit, yeah.
Right? Like when it's like, boom, oh, dude, horses have shit in here for a long time. Well, there's
shits
a part.
Horses.
Buddy presents the cake that's got
right there.
Jousters that actually work there in the sand. And the king's got a sword that he knights Buddy with, and he's holding the sword like handle up where the sword is face down. And I'm wondering if that sword is in the sand. That's what I was wondering. And I was trying to look because later Buddy uses the sword to cut the cake. And I'm like, does he know horses
it's
shit
a big
all over the
pile
place?
Of shit.
And he's cutting the cake hey. For the king. He's like, hey, horse shit. It's full of protein.
This cake smells a little bit like the shit.
But seriously, I mean, it's kind of gross. But Buddy, he wants to joust, and he gets knocked on his ass, and I thought it was great. Wasn't that hilarious?
So for these sphinxes...
Huh? What did he say? Sphinxes? It's interesting.
Hand painting of the hieroglyphics.
Hieroglyphics.
I mean, I love how stupid he is, and I think that's what's so endearing about him, is that he really is a complete and total moron.
I can't stop watching the show. It's just
I
so
can't
moronic.
Either.
I can't wait till his new competition show. I'm hoping that he's like Gordon Ramsay, where he yells at the people.
And he calls everyone a donkey.
I'm hoping that Anthony is there too, because Anthony wants to be a baker now.
I love his new delivery guy, his wife's brother. He's like the ultimate Jersey Guido. He's got the fake tan, the
yeah.
bling, the gelled out hair.
I like it. It's like, that's how we do it in Hoboken. It's like, shut up. Shut the hell up, okay?
Yeah, good for you. Stay there, please.
All right, Bill, let's talk about The Good Guys, which is a great show with Bradley Whitford and Colin Hanks. Awesome show. And they play, I would say, you know, I've talked about it on a previous episode where Dan, the Bradley Whitford character, he's kind of stuck in the 80s and he's always talking about his old partner, Frank, how they would do things. Mm-hmm. He's a really passionate guy. He's always drinking. He's always trying to get laid, right, with the ladies. And there's this great moment here where someone has poisoned a dog and he's very upset about this. Let's just talk about how passionate Dan is at this.
Medic says this is the fourth victim this month.
I want to shoot somebody.
I don't think I've ever seen you this upset for a human victim.
You show me one human being that was as loyal as that dog there. What kind of a sick bastard?
Landscaper uses pet safe fertilizer, and it's been 8 months since an exterminator sprayed. I'd say this is deliberate.
Damn straight. Should start checking this neighborhood for dungeons.
Maybe we should collect some evidence before we jump straight to serial killer, huh? Maybe canvas the neighborhood, go door to door.
It's a waste of time. The sickos always start with dogs. Squirrels, those furry things, chinchillas and whatnot, they work their way up to cannibal. You were a good dog! You watch. This case is going to bring us face to face with a sociopath.
And just every week they stumble upon some big crime. It turns out to be like a bigger crime. That's what I love about the show. It's a lot of fun. Everyone should watch it.
I enjoy it a lot. You really kind of sold me on it. I watched the first episode and was like, but then it kind of like grows on you how ridiculous the Dan character that Bradley Whitford plays is.
There was that one episode where he's sick throughout it and getting everyone sick. He'll have a scene where he's coughing and sneezing. Then later on you see that character again and they're really sick too. I thought that was hilarious. Just these, it's just a well done show. It's really
funny.
The
very end scene on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That when he kisses that kid.
Right. The bad guy.
Oh, yeah, the surfer kid.
Yeah, he finally gets his ultimate revenge on that guy. So it's a fun show. Now, we're not going to take a break yet, Bill. We got to talk about the Hell's Kitchen. Now, Hell's Kitchen has been, they've been kind of doing what they do with Cake Boss, where they show two episodes on Mondays, last past two Mondays. There's been about, what, six episodes, nine episodes?
Yeah, burning it off because... Master Chef starts here in like 3 weeks.
They're trying to do is have the final Hell's Kitchen like the same night as the premiere of Master Chef, Gordon Ramsay's Master Chef. So that's cool. It's just we have a lot to talk about here. And just because I love talking Hell's Kitchen, I made kind of a 2-minute clip for each episode we missed. Okay. Just a little highlight of it. Because if you guys think back, we've seen a lot of ridiculous stuff, right? For instance, remember in the first episode when everyone shows up and they have a press conference for all of the new contestants? That was a little retarded. You got pictures like anyone gives a shit who's
who they are.
But the best part is when Chef decides to have a little go with this new lady who has no experience and he starts making out with her. Whoa! Let's check it out. So stupid.
Okay, there's a few out there that are executive chefs, right? Okay, good. There was one that
shocking.
I seem to remember you with the glasses. Yes.
Yes, chef.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a mom, but I'm a cookbook author.
Ever worked in a restaurant?
No, chef.
Okay, let's start from the bottom. Bring your dish. Apart from it looking like baby vomit, what is that?
It's a veal scallopini.
And I love how they show the other contestants like, he's making fun of her.
Oh, God. Listen to me. That dish was delicious.
Thank you, chef.
I mean, I'm shocked. It may look slightly dull and boring, a little bit like you, but well done. Don't look so nervous.
You're scary.
Okay, let me give you a hug. Up there. Right. Relax. Relax, relax, relax.
That is not his style. He doesn't just hug people. He's not the type of person. He's not personable at all.
Shut what up. A great start! If that's the sign of things to come, well done. Thank you. God, it was good.
This is so bad.
I wanted to be first.
Chef Rams, you're a little slutty.
I was just so stunned. Chef Ramsay really did like that dish.
That was amazing. Listen to me, before we go any further, this person is not who you think she is. This person is... my wife, Tana.
My mistress. I mean, wife. Yay.
Thank God it's his wife.
He just, like, licked their teeth.
Job well done.
What a filthy bastard.
The point I was trying to make is that I don't give two f*** about how much experience you've got. What I do care about is who has the magic? Who has it? She definitely has it. Follow my darling.
Yeah, point taken.
Is that really a point you were making?
Like, yeah. Do you guys like the guy who got the tattoo of Hell's Kitchen on him?
Yeah, oh, yeah, Johnny Handsome.
Yeah, he's got his giant poof hair with wax in it. Wow. Now, my favorite character on the episode, remember they kind of like do these dishes. Every first episode, they're like, here's my signature dish. And first they have Salvatore. And the reason I've included this clip is the Italian music that keeps up when he walks on the screen. And then Andrew, who is the Hell's Kitchen Hannibal Lecter.
Oh,
and
excellent.
The music that cues up. There is a music guy, a sound guy. I'm thinking it's Foggy on the side, who just has so much creativity. Like he should be doing a movie or something, but he's stuck on a shitty reality show. He's got like all these drops in his arsenal. Am I right? All these musical cues, and he just can't help himself. But let's go ahead and check this out.
The team with the most impressive signature dishes clearly wins the challenge.
All right.
Okay, so how long have you been cooking?
Been in a pizza shop for 20 years, chef.
And where are you from?
Naples, Italy, chef.
How long have you been in the U.S.?
Whole book in New Jersey.
21 years? Holy crap. How come the accent's so strong?
For a woman.
Oh, my God.
Girls like it in America, so I kept it.
Okay, so what is this?
It's a bucatina matriciana.
You made the bucatina? You made your...
No, I didn't make, chef.
An Italian that doesn't make his own pasta from Naples? Is that normally undercooked like that? Embarrassing.
Up next, line cook Milka.
This is the last pairing.
Versus cook and farmer Andrew.
Right, now, what is that?
A steak tartare.
Okay, wait. What the hell was that?
Did he do that, or did they add that in? He did not do that.
It's just in the background.
Okay.
That's not something I added either. That's...
The sound people are assholes.
Wow.
And I like to eat them raw.
Oh, my God.
When I win this competition, I'm going to buy two walk-in coolers. That's all I really want. It's two walk-in coolers.
Are you some form of Hell's Kitchen Hannibal Lecter?
Maybe. Then I can start butchering animals, which is what I like to do.
Blend.
Watch out!
What a shame.
Always like, blend. What a shame. And then that's it. It's like, yeah, you're real scary, dude, but your food is bland. But it's just like...
It's tartare. It's not like he's never had steak tartare before.
He likes plain raw meat.
I just don't understand what that... They kind of like... with fava beans and a nice candy. Wow. That's awesome, isn't it?
Are you some form of Hell's Kitchen Hannibal Lecter?
Wow. Awesome. But, you know, when I saw that, I was like, that's a clip for the show. Now, the next episode, Andrew, that same guy, the farmer who likes to butcher animals, he, did you guys remember this? This is a while back. It may be hard to remember. He puts up some mashed potatoes that look like milk. And he's like, what is this? And he's like pulling them up and it was gross. It was all liquidy and stuff. So he's like yells at him. So Andrew goes back and starts adding more like potatoes to it. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, what? He's like, what are you doing? You can't do that. He goes, I'm thickening it up or whatever. And he just talks back. And then there's a great moment where he goes to talk to JP and JP does the same thing. You know, no, he's just testing you. Ah, this shit is gold. Let's check it out.
What's he done?
Potato soup.
Holy crap.
Potato soup.
Come here, all of you.
A little bacon?
That's you as well, Salvatore. There you go.
Bacon. Oh, it's a baby cicada.
There you go. Don't cut it. Oh, no.
Why?
Come here, you idiot. Let me explain why.
Yes, please do.
He put the thick stuff in, you have to run it to it.
That's a brilliant idea, Chef.
That's a brilliant idea, Chef.
You need to ground that mic.
You think this is funny, don't you?
No, I don't think
so. So we're serving liquid mashed potato, so I expect you to put that fresh stuff in a pan and you add the liquid to it. That's not going to make any ounce of difference there. It's gone.
That's not true.
Huh?
Man, this guy. Damn. He's crazy.
And now you're going to tell me I can't cook in a saute pan.
Chef Ramsay, he's like the Jay-Z of restaurants. You don't talk back to a man like that.
Come here.
I'm losing my temper.
Shit,
say
man.
That again.
So now I've got to take it out of the saute.
Yeah, come here, you. Get out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you something straight. You've got nothing right. You don't care. You've got no respect. And you know what? You're a joke to the industry. Yeah, that's what you are. Hi, guys.
What the hell was that?
What's wrong?
Get the alligator.
It's a smoke monster.
What does it look like I'm doing? That man asked me to leave, and you expect me to stay here.
He's just testing you.
Right. And if I walk back in there, I don't want to hear him yell at me again.
Yeah. I don't know how many people which would be willing to be in your shoes now.
You know what? They may take my shoes.
Give some shoes.
I'm walking out these doors. Chef Ramsay got pissed at me.
Yeah, he's a serial killer.
You know, whatever. I don't really care what Chef Ramsay thinks of me. I'm done. You have a nice day.
Now, you know, there's a moment there that was...
my shoes.
That was the smoke monster, wasn't it? You hear?
Yes, it was.
Every episode of Hell's Kitchen, they'll do like a little... like jump to commercial, and sometimes they show them like a cleaver goes down and you hear a cow go or something like that, or they show smoke go up and the little horns or whatever. But every once in a while you hear this. I'm like, that's a smoke monster, am I right? Weird. Hell's Kitchen is in the sideways world, I'm thinking.
Big Lost fans.
Yeah, huge Lost thinking fans.
Poggy is the sound guy.
Salvatore, we've determined he's from Italy, right? I think he's from Hoboken, New Jersey, myself. But he wants
he
to
just
quit
kept the
here.
Accent.
He just has a good voice coach.
Right. In this scene, he wants to quit. And, it, you know, it's true. I can't understand a word he's saying. And it's even, I think it's later. We'll get to that later. But where he writes, like, what are you writing in Japanese? And Bill and I were talking about this during the week. I freeze framed it, and I could read what he wrote just fine.
Yeah, I mean, it was chicken scratch and very childish, but it was easy to read.
Yeah, and it's almost like just kind of giving me a hard time is what it is. But in this scene, he wants to quit until JP intervenes, and he makes him feel a lot better, and he doesn't give up. It's thank God JP's there, right, guys?
He's the psychiatrist of Hell's Kitchen.
And the way he says that, he has called me many names, but I let it go in one ear and out the other. But the way JP words it, it's like 20 extra words in the sentence. Let's check it out.
What's wrong with that?
Is this you wasting me and well?
Yeah, and it's not wrote on the ticket.
Yes, chef.
It's not on the ticket. So what do you want me to do now? You're your team, go in there, take it to them. There you go.
Now I'm just gonna leave. Hey, please, may I please have a Wellington, me and well, please, on the flight?
A what?
Yeah,
yes,
please.
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much.
I think he talks in Japanese.
Me and well.
It's not even written on the ticket, so we send it out perfectly, and it's not your fault, okay?
You have a
hey, don't leave there. Hey, hello, get rid of that plate.
Steven, did you just tap on a glass? Or is that on the show?
Oh, it was
so thick and thick and so many got thick and I, how much you can take it?
What?
Sooner or later, you start breaking apart.
Salvatore. Salvatore.
I'm done.
Salvatore, do me a favor. Don't do that. Salvatore, fight back, young man. Salvatore.
Go stab him with his knife.
Fight back, man. Hey, listen, I know the man for 16 years.
And humiliation is to the point.
It's not don't take it personal. I mean, he names me so many different ways. Yeah? It goes in, it goes out. Because...
I'm done, Jean-Philippe.
No, you're not.
I finished the service, I'm going home tonight. I put myself up and chopped
the Don't do that.
I'm happy that Jean-Philippe encouraged me to at least don't give him up on my team, but... You know,
come again? What?
The team blew the bag. I put myself up.
Speaking in English?
Just smile on your face. Smile on your face.
Smile on your face. Oh, okay. Exactly.
Call the sports manager.
Now, okay, I'm going to say this. Not every season, the people aren't very attractive most of the time on the show. But Holly, she's pretty hot, isn't she, Steven? The one chef, Holly? Come on, you had to
remember. I'm trying to remember.
The hot one.
I didn't think the only one
that's attractive.
You're talking about the one with the really badly high arched eyebrows and the dirty blonde hair.
No, I'm not. That's Marie, who looks like the Mad Hatter. She looks like the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, she's kind of scary. But in this,
kind is being nice.
There's this episode where Chef Ramsay goes, "Get your pretty face over here," and she's like, "What?"
Oh yeah, yeah, that one.
And she's
I've
like,
"I've never been called pretty."
He was being sarcastic. But you guys don't know this about Salvatore. He's easy to talk to, and cue the Italian music, and people just give up intimate secrets about themselves around him. Let's check it out.
After the blue team returns to the dorm, the chefs have a rare moment of downtime in Hell's Kitchen to get to know each other better.
You just wait until I tell you my story.
Salvatore is definitely the pizzeria? Italian Dr. Phil. People like to talk to him.
It's all a secret that you have in your closet.
He seems to get things out of people that you would never think in a million years.
Ellie, what's your story? Go, baby.
I have probably the biggest porn collection out of anybody I know.
I don't know.
Nice.
We need to talk.
Yeah.
Hey, you'll make your own point.
I didn't tell the guy to do his job, but that should have cued the cicadas, shouldn't it?
No, I've made porn with significant others.
They haven't
been aired anywhere that I know of.
The music's speeding up.
I'm lost for words, and that usually doesn't happen.
All right, I'll tell you my story.
Go, baby.
I used to work somewhat topless and somewhat nude.
Oh, God, no, kill it with fire.
Or S&M was my nickname, and I used to do fetish balls. And
like you tie up people.
There'd be Dominique stuff, there'd be S&M stuff.
I like S&M.
Salvatore.
Wait, what? Salvatore? What's he say? I like the S&M. The S&M meets alike. Misa-like? Whoa, he's part Gungan.
He's part Gungan.
He's Gungan.
But I don't want to be mean, but that girl Siobhan kind of looks like a wicked witch.
Yeah.
She does. She's all pale, and she has the split teeth and
Yikes.
That nasty, like, kind of like white person dread hair.
There's a part where that's coming up, but... Well, I'll just talk about that in a bit. But
if you held up a crucifix to her, she would burst in flames.
No, you throw a bucket of water on it. I'm melting. Oh, that's so mean. Oh, sorry, Sioban, whatever the hell.
Sioban!
In the dining room, so kind of
cool.
Nervous. First time I was there, it was bad experience for me.
Show me.
Oh, this is the writing.
What is that? Are you writing in Japanese? Let's go. Oh. What is that there? What does that say? What?
Yes,
you went to school, right?
No, chef.
You did go to school?
No, chef.
What were you doing?
I came to America because my family needed me, needed money.
Oh, my God.
So what were you doing when you didn't go to school?
Working every day, chef, to help my father and my mom, bills.
Thank you for being honest.
I always been honest, chef.
Just take your time.
Does he feel bad at that point? Because he's like, thank you for being honest. Wow.
It's like, I'm ragging on you for not knowing how to write, but you didn't go to school.
Yeah, it's just kind of creepy, isn't it? Oh.
Wouldn't you have offered that before he made you the waiter?
What's your education? I don't have any. I've worked in Pizza Hut for the last 21 years.
You're know that's what he is.
I work in a pizzeria. A Pizza Hut. Yeah. Pizza Hut? That's not a pizzeria, dude. It's like, sure it is. They have the checkered tablecloths. Come on. Oh, okay. I'll give it to you.
We are now the Wing Street.
Now, we also have the wings, too. And we also have the pasta.
Put a pizza pie. Get some crispy hot wings.
This whole time, we haven't really been covering that. There's this douchebag named Scott who's the redheaded Ian Ziering. Am I right?
Yeah.
He's just a freaking asshole.
Every time he talks, he's like, well, the most talented person here, so
I'm
it's really hard.
I'm a classically trained chef.
I'm the only one who's worked in a fancy restaurant.
The best part is when Gordon Ramsay's about to cut him, he's like, this team will collapse without me. But the best part before then, have you guys ever heard of a Cornish pigeon? A Cornish hen. There is a cue, a musical cue here, Bill, and I was trying to think of what does this remind me of? And it reminds me of the Echo game from the House of Flying Daggers. Just listen to this. When she says Cornish hen and he corrects her, it's all of a sudden we're in the House of Flying Daggers. Let's check this out.
Let's go, Siobhan and Jay.
Next up, Jay and Siobhan go head-to-head with their hollandaise dishes.
Okay, Siobhan, just explain, please, what's the dish?
I have a butterfly Cornish hen.
That's the pigeon.
Okay, Chef, it's a pigeon. I was shocked when Chef Ramsay told me that it wasn't a Cornish hen, and then I stood up there feeling like a complete moron.
Yeah.
What's all the blood there for?
Her squab looks like she mopped it all over the floor and then punched the back open. I saw her pool of blood. I had it in the bag.
No, I'm so sorry. I mean, pink is pink.
That guy has blue
blood
hair.
Is raw, right? I'm not even going to taste it. Scott, why are you back here?
I was voted up, Chef. I don't agree with it. I've had a tough couple services, but I'm a hard worker.
Glass,
obviously,
dude.
You know that. I just bust ass every day. I have a calmness about me during service, no matter what the stresses bring. By no means, I'm not the worst cook in this team by far. I'm the best cook in this team, the best leader in this team. I can accomplish.
I can't take it anymore. Fran.
Yes, Chef.
Siobhan. Off back in line.
This team will die if I'm not here.
Scott, give me a jacket. I can't take it anymore. I cannot take it. I kept waiting and I waited and waited, but it didn't happen. Good night.
Good night, Chef. I certainly am the best cook on the red team, but when you're working with teammates that aren't as qualified to be there as you are, it makes it hard.
Oh, so it's their fault.
But at the end of the day, I'm still going to go on and continue to be a great chef.
I love how the people on the show think that after they appear on Hell's Kitchen and are completely and totally humiliated, that they're going to go on to become a great chef.
They should. I would love them to say, well, there's always Top Chef or something like that, you know.
There's always Master Chef.
There's always Chopped on the Food Network.
Chopped.
Am I right, though? Isn't that the Echo game right there?
That is.
There's that Zing Ziyi or something.
Zhang Ji.
Zhang Ji. So that's Hell's Kitchen, the most overly scored show on television. So much music, so many sound effects, and that's what I love about it. You know, that's where most of my entertainment on the show when I'm watching it, I'll laugh at all the musical cues. Are you kidding me when I heard that, like,
Italian music for
the, yeah, I'm from Italy, and cue Italian music. Or, you know, hey, look, they're making out cue porn music. You know, they just have something for everything. Those guys are geniuses.
They're really on top of it. You know, they know how to spot a situation and pick the correct music.
Wow. Awesome.
I'm here to clean your pool.
Here's the pizza. Here's the pepperoni.
I'm here to lay some cable.
Hydroglyphics?
No.
Hey, guys, I got to go paint some hieroglyphics, so we'll be right back after this break. What do you say?
All right.
I like the hieroglyphics.
Hey, careful with that fudge.
Sorry, Ernie. It's the rookie's first time covering cookies.
Do I have to use so much fudge?
We're elves. We always use lots.
Lots of rich, creamy fudge makes our good Keebler cookies taste even more uncommonly good.
Keep your eye on a cookie, kid.
Making Keebler fudge-covered cookies takes lots of fudge.
And lots of practice.
Fudge sticks, fudge stripes, fudge marshmallows, and deluxe Grahams from Keebler.
Mmm, chocolate. My chocolate
is in my peanut butter.
It's delicious.
I like it.
You get two great tastes in one candy bar.
Real milk chocolate, delicious peanut butter. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Slinky toys are fun toys.
It's Slinky, it's Slinky. For fun, it's a wonderful toy. What walks downstairs alone or in pairs and makes a slinkity sound? A spring, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky, it's Slinky, it's Slinky. For fun, it's a wonderful toy. It's fun for a girl and a boy.
Slinky is a toy product of James Industries.
Well, we're all out of orange flavored Tang.
Golly, the grape flavor's gone too.
Listen, why don't I go to the Earth and get some more?
Yeah?
I could trade them some rocks.
Rocks? For an instant breakfast drink with more vitamin C than orange juice?
Sure. I'll be right back.
What is vitamin C anyway? Mm.
Well, I'm back.
He got both orange and grape flavored Tang.
For a bag of rocks.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I wonder if there's intelligent life on that planet.
It's a Bespin guard.
Halt, strangers. Take us to Lando Calrissian. Follow me.
From Kenner's Star Wars, the Empire Strikes Back collection. Action figures each sold separately.
I'm Lando. Who's there?
Han Solo, on a mission with a rebel soldier.
What's your mission?
We're fighting the Empire,
and we need your help.
Han Solo, rebel soldier, Lando Calrissian, and Bespin guard each sold separately. From Star Wars, the Empire Strikes Back collection. New from Kenner.
It's the new Boba Fett Star Wars large-size action figure from Kenner. Darth Vader sold separately.
Capture them alive!
I'm the best bounty hunter in the whole galaxy.
That's why you got the job.
Boba Fett has a see-through helmet with play rangefinder to locate your objective. You can move his legs, knees, arms, even wrists and elbows. His backpack unit is removable.
You have your mission. Good luck.
I don't need luck. I'm the best.
New Boba Fett Star Wars large-size action figure from Kenner. Darth Vader sold separately.
Who put golden chunks of apple in a pie that's packed to go?
Dolly did it.
Who put juicy red cherries in a neat-to-eat treat? Who put a creamy chocolate filling in this great little pie?
Is this a test?
Nah, everyone knows it's Dolly Madison who makes delicious pack-to-go pies. Cherry, apple, and chocolate, all with flaky golden crusts. Dolly Madison did it.
Everybody knows that.
Move over, bacon. There's something leaner. Tasty sizzling.
Whoa, sis. What's the matter with my bacon?
Here's what's the matter. F-A-T, fat. Sizzling's 50% leaner than bacon. It's all real meat without all the fat.
Mmm, delicious.
Move over, bacon. There's something leaner.
So why sizzle fat? Sizzle lean.
From Swift. And look for sizzling now. It's a better value than ever. But hurry, it's flying out of the store.
Get up! There's gonna be a shootdown!
A shootdown?
Between the gunfighter and Rockjaw Jim, strongest dog in town.
Gunfighter!
The gunfighter's chewing a delicious hubba bubba. It starts soft and stays soft. Chew after chew after chew.
Just start chewing! Looks like Rockjaw got Rockjaw!
Hubba bubble with amazing no stick bubble. Starts soft, stays soft.
Alert the troops! They're protecting Toothopolis with some new gel! They must be out of crest! Attack!
We make holes in teeth!
Cavity creeps!
You're pressed down! You're pressed down!
A new gel as tough as Crest?
It's great tasting Crest Gel with Fluoristat. You creep.
Repelled by Crest Gel.
You'll love the flavor.
Why, you fight cavities
with new Crest Gel.
Tastes great. Crest. Shoot, Chuck!
2 points for my Count Chocula. Chocolatey good cereal with real marshmallows.
Time out.
You can enjoy a good, nutritious breakfast with Frankenberry. Strawberry-flavored cereal with marshmallows.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry.
They're prize winners!
And now, free in specially marked boxes of Monster cereals, a spooky speedster. They're racing cars that are lots of fun to run. With Frank, or Boo, or the Count on every one.
They're spooky speedsters!
Assembly required.
We need a front page story.
Boss, I got it.
Chips Ahoy. Got an average of 16 chocolate chips in every cookie.
16 chips? Hey, what do you think, Lois?
What?
Good. Look at all those chocolate chips.
I want this front page. Extra, extra. 16 chips, it's Chips Ahoy.
Barney, are there two E's in 16?
Extra, extra. For 16 chips, it's Chips Ahoy from the Bisco.
What's the matter, Wilbur?
They changed my Coke.
Something wrong with it?
I know, they sure changed it.
Could have asked.
What could have? I stuck with them through 3 wars and a couple of dust storms, but this is too much. Guess something big made them change.
Right, big.
Right, big. Pepsi, the choice of a new generation.
Still could have asked.
I was plumb surprised.
Oh my goodness. Hey everyone, we're back. Welcome to the show. We're back from our break, and bladders are drained. That's all I have to say about that. Now, Bill, before we get into Top Chef, I wanted to say this, that a show called Tremé ended on HBO. I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
Entourage will be back this Sunday.
Wow, there's a show to replace it with.
And I know everyone is excited about what's going on with Turtle.
He hasn't died yet.
Yeah, I'm telling you, remember last season we were talking about they need to kill Turtle. It's the only way to bring this show back. Right. Okay, so Entourage, Big Brother will be back soon, Bill. Huh?
I'm looking forward to Big Brother.
Yeah, Bill, we're always looking forward to it until we watch it. And then we're like, what the hell is this? One thing is don't bring anybody back from previous seasons, please.
No.
Just please. New people. I'm going to say people who have high IQs, maybe.
That would be great. And people that like to have fun.
No one with tattoos or piercings.
Do you remember, was it the season before last where they brought in that really fun guy? I think his name was Brian, where he was doing puppet shows and all that stuff at the beginning.
Dude.
And then, of course, he's the first one gone. The fun guy in the house. Screw him. Get rid of him.
Yeah.
It just the people in the house, they put this mentality of just victims.
Yeah.
And they've got to get rid of anybody that's fun.
The thing that always drove me nuts, and they do it every season, is they're like, we got to get rid of that person. And so-and-so was talking shit or whatever, and then everyone badmouths that one person. And also, you always have to have the hot girl that all the other women hate.
I mean, yes.
Why don't any of these people like look inward and go, wait, I've watched the show. I'm acting just like everyone else that ever did. But I am hoping they have this.
America's contestant.
Hey, America. Guess what?
America's player.
We've just set off an explosive in the Big Brother house. Yay!
We set off a pencil nuke. Now everyone's irradiated.
Oh, and Bill, I wanted to say this. A while back when podcasts first started, way back in the pioneer days, Stephen, 2005 or so, when they started springing up everywhere, there were two screenwriters that did a podcast called Sam and Jim Go to Hollywood. And they were aspiring screenwriters. They'd gotten some jobs. They'd sold a few scripts, but nothing had been made into a feature or anything. They've sold stuff, but nothing else came of it. They even talked back in 2006 about they sold a pilot to ABC about this new Stephen King show. And you were kind of wondering what happened to it. I didn't know about that pilot back then, but I knew of the show in the earlier episodes. So I started hearing about this new show called Haven, Bill, on Sci-Fi, wondering what it was all about. It's an adaptation of the Stephen King book called The Colorado Kid, which looks like, if you see the book in a bookstore, it looks like one of those dime store kind of detective novels. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So they adapted that and turned it into a pilot. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I looked for it in different places. There wasn't a lot about it online, but I found the two writers on Twitter. And I realized that's the guys who did the podcast. So I went back and looked at the old podcast, and there's one episode in 2006 titled Pitching Stephen King to Hollywood. So I was like, oh, cool. So I listened to that. And it talks about – did you ever listen to that, Bill, where they're basically talking about –
I didn't listen to any of it yet. I downloaded them, though.
They were excited about the Stephen King project. Even Stephen King had read what they'd written, and he was pleased with it. So they were really excited. And then, of course, the writer's strike happened and stuff like that. And so think back then, 2006, now 2010, in July, next month, this show's going to premiere. Those guys are some patient dudes, right?
They really are.
Very patient dudes.
I'm going to have to listen to them. Do they, you know, for people that hang around like that and wait to get something done, do they incessantly complain about Hollywood and how it's not doing the right things?
They talk about how patient they have to be, but one thing that they do kind of get, they talk about that drives them nuts is when you have a project in Hollywood, say like with ABC or something, they're like, hey, we love your script. Make these changes. So you go and you make those changes. Meanwhile, you're not getting paid yet. So you go and make those changes. Well, that's interesting, but we'd like you to do this. Go back, change it again. You're still not getting paid. So they said the most frustrating thing is they're like, we have no money and we've got a family and they keep making us write some more, but we still haven't gotten paid. And I could see how that would drive you nuts.
Sure, but they're not complaining as much as just voicing.
They're not jaded at all. There's times where, you know, they talk about how it becomes tough, and that's why they rely on each other to talk each other through things.
All right, good, I'll listen to that. I can't handle podcasts where people just complain about stuff like what needs to be fixed and all
honestly, no. They don't do that at all. In fact, they even say that there's a lot we can't say because we want to have jobs. You know?
Nice.
They're like, we're not going to mention this person's name because we're not stupid. But I'm really excited. You know, everyone knows that we love Stephen King, and I'm really excited about this show. So that being said,
I can't wait. I was going to listen to the audiobook of The Colorado Kid, and then I saw it was only 3 hours long, and I was like, well, that's a pretty short book. And
right.
I started listening to it, and the guy who does the reading isn't very good at all. So I ended up picking up the book, and I was going to try to read it this weekend. So
I actually bought it on my iPod, and I have to go out of town this weekend. No, I hold it horizontal, and I read it like that, and I'm going to try to do it.
Better
my
man than
eyes.
My vision already sucks. I don't need to try to make it any worse.
One thing I should tell you though is Haven is it's got things from the book in the show, but it's not a direct adaptation of the book. You know what I mean? Like the book is relatively short.
It to be.
So it's really cool and stuff like that. And I don't want my voice
got high. Emily Rose in it, the girl that is in the Uncharted games, plays the blonde reporter chick.
Right. I'm excited about this show.
She's very cute.
I'm hoping it's cool. Now let's talk about Top Chef. Oh, and who won Top Chef Masters, Bill? The The guy from India who is Swedish.
No, he's Nigerian,
Nigerian. He was actually adopted by, was it a Swedish
Swedes,
family?
Yeah.
Right, so he has the last name of Samuelson. And, yes. You know, I'm nothing against the guy, but I didn't think he was that interesting compared to, like,
He's talented enough to be a Top Chef master.
I don't understand. And Rick Moonen, he was always talking here, but he didn't win. I don't know what happened.
I liked him. I thought he had a better final showing. I think he should have won, but...
I don't understand what happened.
I think Samuelson had somebody paid off.
That's what... He had the sadder story, I think. Susser Lee, he had that story about his wife being shot down in an airplane.
That was shocking to me. Because that was a pretty big deal in the early 80s when the Russians shot down that Korean airliner.
And his wife was on it, and he said... He's like, I didn't know anyone, only my wife here in America, and I was lost without her. And I was just like starting to cry or something. And he goes, but she inspired me. I did. She told me I could always be a chef. And it's like, that's an incredible story. They could make a movie out of that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But he didn't win. But you know win. You know what I'm saying?
He pulled a Richard Blaze and he choked.
I know.
I am talking here.
Oh, sorry. Now let's talk about Top Chef. Now, Top Chef is back. It was back last week. And like last season, get rid of the freak first. Remember last season they had a chick with stretched out earlobes that was disgusting.
Oh.
Had a big tattoo slapped between her breasts. Just disgusting. They got rid of her right away because you can't eat around that, right?
No.
People with stretched out earlobes. I'm sorry. I know there are people out there who's like, yeah, I'm going to do that. It's all tribal and shit. You look like a friggin' douchebag, okay? I'm sorry. Somebody need to say it. Look like a douche. Sorry about that, Steven. I know you have stretched out earlobes.
I'm sorry. If they could stretch back, I would.
They're stuck that way.
It's too late.
You can hang shit off of them. It's cool.
Like
you just said it sucked, and now you're saying it's cool.
Yeah, I'm just being nice. But anyway, so this one guy, he looks like a rooster or something, right, Bill? I'm going to say Big Bird with bad teeth.
He does. He looks like Big Bird with gray dreadlocks.
And you know how I knew he was going to go? He goes, I decided. He talks like Emo Phillips, kind of, I'm going to make a dessert. Going home?
Yeah.
You're out of here. And honestly, this week...
Has he never watched Top Chef before?
This week, they were doing a thing to develop school lunches that are healthy for kids.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but they talked about, like, they only have this much money for each lunch for these kids. So you really... And I'm like, wait, hold on. I've seen the Jamie Oliver show, okay? They have a set budget where they buy this shit like wholesale from this giant warehouse full of processed food, right?
Yeah, Sysco.
So it's not like they have to like piecemeal the money together to scrape together a meal. They buy a shitload of government pizza and shit, right?
Right.
But anyway, they each have to break into different pairs or different groups.
They were open together, and they could only use one hand each and make a sandwich.
And last week, that guy Angelo, like, nailed it, everything. They did the speed round thing where that one black dude, he was, like, awesome.
He was a machine.
And then when it came down to making the food, Angelo kicked his ass at that because it was, like, so good. And then he won the main task, too. So this week, did the same thing where he won the sandwich, make a best sandwich or whatever. And, so he won immunity for him and the porpoise that was, I mean, the lady who was like,
the porpoise
was like his partner. So
you know what's funny about her is she's like unapologetically butch.
Yeah.
Like, it's like if you have, you look at her and instantly go, oh, lesbian. There's like absolutely no effort to look.
But then she was talking about how like nice it was to be next to Angelo and have her arm around him or whatever.
Well, she's got a crush on him like Rosie O'Donnell had a crush on Tom Cruise.
Oh, my Tommy! Oh, I gotcha. Okay. So anyway, they each need to make different healthy meals. The one thing I thought. I try to nail whoever's going to – I try to be on the mark on who's going to go that week. this episode.
You pride yourself on that.
The one lady said, I'm going to put cooking sherry in her chicken. Didn't you think she was going to go for that?
Oh, yeah. The moment she said cooking sherry and then used so much of the budget for the cooking sherry.
Right.
I'm sorry. Kids are going to go to school and then see sherry jus chicken. What?
And then the girl who's making the dessert, like what should have been easily like, what was it? Cream, bananas, and strawberry, like a parfait or something.
Well, she was going to make a chocolate pudding until I think it was the one girl with the cooking sherry
used up the money.
And so she couldn't even make that something. No. She couldn't buy eggs. Remember she said, oh, we couldn't afford eggs. It's like, eggs? Really? Wow.
But you can afford sherry.
Yeah. She can afford, and she was just kind of like, oh. But then there's this one girl who's like the bossy girl. I think her name's Kelly. And she's like, we're going to do shredded healthy tacos and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, okay. She's in charge.
Well, I don't think kids are going to like that.
And they're kind of all bitching about it. But then some things kind of, and they don't like how she takes credit for everything. And I'm going to say, just from watching it, it looked like she had the idea, didn't she? But it is kind of funny. She goes, it's my idea. But let's see what happens with that.
Well, it's because it was her idea, and she wanted to set herself away from these three assholes that she's got on her team.
Yeah, let's check this out.
Tacos. I think kids love tacos, and we can make them super healthy, like roast
pork.
What kind of
tacos?
So it'll be a soft taco. I could use feta that's all low fat.
A lot of kids are not on feta.
I'm not so happy to work with Kelly because Kelly's trying to take control.
So we are going to do pork carnita tacos, some pickled onions.
You think onions are weird for children?
No, trust me, they'll love them.
That's just my two cents.
My teammates were a little panicked, but I feel confident that I can lead this group.
I think that we need to be in agreement, all of us.
Yeah.
I'm not going home for somebody else. If I go home, I'm going to because I messed up. I started off in the middle, now I'm in the bottom. What the heck? I'm not going home.
What'd you guys do?
I am making some whole grain tortillas because I'm making some carnitas tacos. There's going to be a little salad on top.
Cool.
This is actually my idea.
I looked over and I was like, get a pasta maker, have cookie cutters do it. That was not, we decided. I didn't decide that.
They're all I'm going to go home for my idea, not for yours. You know what I mean?
Let's come over here.
A few things bothered me from working in the kitchen with Kelly today, and I wouldn't feel good about myself
if I
didn't say
something to her. I had to edit it out once.
I really have an issue with the unclaimed stuff today when we did everything together as a group.
I totally agree.
But everything that I would hear out of your mouth was I.
Use the word I.
This is my idea. You said this is my idea. I didn't make everything, but I troubleshooted, like, okay, that press wasn't going to work. Use the pasta machine.
I'm flabbergasted that he came at me with this. He feels like I have taken too much credit, but each one of us have to stand up and defend a single dish. I would never.
But I feel also that I got my done really, really fast to help the entire team get everything else done.
You did.
So now judges are going to be like, oh my God, Arnold just salsa. Awesome.
Hey, chefs.
Hey, chef.
So what are you working on? What are you making?
It's taco day today at the school.
Taco day. All right.
Tortillas we made with oatmeal. It's carnitas.
I'm ultimately responsible for the carnitas.
Okay.
We all really helped each other a lot.
Okay.
I try to get my stuff done really, really fast just to be there for the entire team.
I mean, incredible salsa.
I like when they say we all did it. But that's why they're forced to take responsibility for one thing. Because if someone's completely on their own and it's a failure of a dish, they're nowhere to hide.
As our guest judge, announce the winner.
The one that stood out the most was so alive and so vibrant. Kept nutrition at the forefront. I think I'm going to have to choose Kelly.
Thank you. Congratulations, Kelly.
I found the tortilla itself to be a bit tough. It really did overtake the taco for me.
So she wins, but he didn't like it.
But he would love some sausage.
Sorry, I had to do it.
So, you know, the guy, Angelo, that kicked ass last week, he had immunity, and he kind of made some kind of lame, like, piece of celery swoosh.
He totally effed over his team. And it's because he didn't like the one guy on the team.
He even says to the girl.
Like Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, he's like, hey, don't tell anybody about that. I don't like Isaac Hayes over there. With his
I never liked
salty
his
balls.
Music. I don't like him.
Yeah, but
I thought Chef was stupid.
Chef.
What's up, Chef?
That guy's a Scientologist.
Hey, children.
But yeah, they kind of screwed him over because the other guy, he's like, I made rice with vegetables. did you like the part where he
thought that was such a joke that he made, well, it was celery with a peanut butter foam.
He called it a mousse, a peanut butter mousse.
And that was the vegetable.
It's like frothy peanut butter, right?
I'm sorry, I don't want frothy peanut butter.
And the other thing was like this spicy, like, what was that? Like candied yams or something? I can't remember what it was, but it looked nasty.
Candied yams.
Sweet potatoes.
Yeah, they just opened up the can, yeah, dumped them out.
It was mashed up sweet potatoes, right? And it looked like baby food, but it had some spice to it, they said.
Yes, like, yes, you're right.
It's like, why the hell would you make that
like
for
a sweet potato
kids?
Puree that looked like baby shit.
Yeah, it's like, kids aren't going to eat that, you dumbass. I mean, how
I'm an adult and I don't like sweet potatoes.
Yeah, I've never liked
every
it.
Time there's a challenge on any of these cooking shows where people have to cook for kids. They did it on Hell's Kitchen, too. And remember, she put blue cheese in a burger for, like, some kid's bar mitzvah?
Yeah. And then he's like,
what the? For some reason, they think that their taste or their elevated palate somehow would...
And they always say, no, the kids will love this. They will love this. I'm going to serve...
I love it. I know they'll love it.
Let's serve them raw meat. But anyway, Top Chef's back. And I got to say, Padma, after having her baby, she's looking nice. She's got a nice
Man,
weight on
she's
her.
She's got some milk stores in them suckers.
She's got a nice, like...
hourglass?
Thickness, you know?
Yeah, oh, God, I love...
And Tom Colicchio, man, he is looking good, too. Am I right? I'd like to slap that bald head.
I love whenever he walks through the door somewhere. It's like, I see him come into a room, and I think of that soul coughing song that move aside and let the man go through, let the man go through. He's just got this arrogance about him. Like, I'm Tom Colicchio. I'm here to judge you.
That's not what I hear when he walks through the door. I'm kind of scared.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Now, guys, let's talk about work of art. The next great artist or something like that on Bravo. It comes on right after Top Chef. Mm-hmm.
And it really is a fun show if you're in like if you like any type of art whatsoever.
It's, you know, it's fun. You know, I used to love to draw. I don't really much anymore. But, you know, we've all been in an art class and we see the people who are like way too serious or anybody who explains what they mean. You're just kind of like, shut up. You know what I mean?
But thank you for explaining it to me.
But my favorite
part.
The
blue dot in the center is my inner being.
I've always loved when people talk about art, like what does this mean and stuff like that, because you can't do that without sounding like a complete douchebag.
It's like a mountain of mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
this means something.
This looks like a DNA strand or something. I think I know where they're going.
That
with
was
this.
The best. Yeah. The best.
It's like he threw that shit together on the roof with wires. Shut up. You know, it's just like, oh, this is so... That's what one of my favorite parts is, the judges when they talk about mm-hmm. shit. And, you know, I have to hand it to them. They can tell when something is complete horse shit, too. Like, I can tell, like, when something just looks really awesome. Like, that guy Abdi. He's an incredible painter, right? The mm-hmm. I don't know where he's from, but the black dude. Mm-hmm. He has some incredible
he's from
painters.
The land of Abdi.
He has this awesome self-portrait. He does a cool painting of one of his fellow contestants. Thought it was badass. He's incredible. And he
I even
did,
liked his Frankenstein cover.
He did a
I
sculpture.
I thought that was horrible. I liked it.
It
had nothing to do with Frankenstein.
Well, I'm not saying I liked it for being Frankenstein, but I liked the piece.
But what I wanted, he can do illustration and stuff. Why didn't he just friggin' paint Frankenstein? It would have been awesome.
Yeah.
With his style. Don't you think it would have been cool? First, he tries to do a sculpture, which I thought was looking really neat, but it's like he abandoned it.
And this is the second week in a row he had to do a sculpture. I think because he got so much acclaim for the video game thing sculpture. He was like, yeah, I'm going to do this shit again.
And I can understand. There's a difference between being an artist and doing projects all the time to someone saying, here's exactly what I
want. You got 4 hours to make something.
Well, I remember people saying, hey, man, I'll give you $5 to draw a picture of George Strait for me or something. It's like, what? I can't do that. Or I swear to God, I got multiple requests in high school. Dude, draw me Eddie from Iron Maiden. Draw me a picture of Eddie. Pay $10.
My friend Erin, she's an amazing artist, and she would do comic book covers on my notebooks. She was incredible, and she went from art to get involved in like prosthetics and stuff now. But
well, that's cool. But what I was saying is like when somebody gives you something specific to do, Bill. You know, yeah. like that one old lady, Judith, giving her something specific, she, like, freezes up. Because she's used to just painting shit in her garage, you know?
Literally.
I mean, she's literally an outsider artist.
So I can see why,
you know,
like
kind of point her at that.
The thing last week, which was, like, take some junk art or whatever. Some people, I thought the one kind of goofy chick who did the TV, I didn't know what the hell she was doing. But I thought her finished product was really kind of a cool idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the Judith chick had
and
wires
I saw
and
absolutely nothing that the critics saw in it.
Yeah,
I didn't get it.
Oh, I know. They were saying, oh, they kind of like do you like that? Mm-hmm. See, it's kind of like the metamorphosis of man's spirit as they kind of go on to new generations. It's like, yeah, I understand what you're saying there. When I see here, and it's like, what the hell are you people talking about? Seriously, what the hell?
So, I love when somebody comes up with something and then they go, yeah,
that's exactly right. Now, okay, let's talk about Miles, the Asperger's kid.
Kid loves eating Asperger's.
He has really bad OCD, as he says, and he's never sleeps. He's got big bags under his eyes, messy hair. I want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Is that the one that read the Frankenstein novel
right.
in 4 hours?
He did the two anuses and made the bed and slept in it.
Two anuses.
Two concrete anuses.
Oh, that should be a show title. My two anuses.
Well, yeah, and he won the project the week before, right? Remember they had to do the portrait of the other people? Okay, let's talk about the girl named Nao. N-A-O. She's kind of the heavy
chick. That's not her real name.
She was going around and criticizing like everybody's artwork. Do you remember that? Like, oh yeah, this is very kind of childish or whatever. And they'd look at her like, what? What the hell is your problem, bitch? She's like, I do performance art. I put plastic bags over my head and film it and bullshit like that. And they're like, oh,
I wrap
wow.
myself in saran wrap and film myself.
Yeah.
It's
And so Miles, he's like,
you need to put wrap foil around you because we don't want to see it.
Leave that bag of water on your head, please.
Yeah, Miles, he was like, I'm going to take a picture of you, but it's going to be your death portrait. And she's like, oh, okay. And they were like, this is very interesting. I really like what you've captured here. And so he won the first week with that. And then, you know, he did
is this a cow?
he slept in a bed and had two concrete anuses next to it, which the guy was like, I think that's a little much, but okay.
It's genius. I love anus.
Now, here's with the very beginning of the show, the producer, executive producer of this show is Sarah Jessica Parker. Mm. And she shows up and Miles.
She loves horses.
Miles thinks he's going to be funny here. And let's just check this out. He's kind of a jackass. But I like it.
I have a surprise for you.
Uh-huh.
What?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Your surprise is ridiculous.
Hi.
Surprise!
Oh, you know, it's Sarah Jessica Parker, one of my idols.
Wait, who is this?
One of her idols?
Hi, Miles.
Hey, listen to Miles.
Nice to meet you.
And you are?
I'm Sarah Jessica.
Oh, okay. I love Square Pig.
I'm always like, and you are?
Welcome, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Come on, she's in Sex and the City. You know, you watch that all the time, dude.
I want to say, I come from a family that loves art. I grew up in a time that the government supported art.
I owned crayons as a child.
And you are
now they
here
burn
because
it.
Your work was exceptional. And I will say, just lastly, only this, which is, be brave, be competitive, and be yourself. Show the world your art. It's time. Do it. So thank
no, it's
you.
Not really.
Thank you all.
Bye. When I get nervous, I make bad jokes. That was the stupid one that I chose in that moment. I'm just really embarrassed that I did that.
You see, she loves art, and that's why we're all here.
What did he say?
He said,
oh, well, thank you, Jean-Philippe.
He said, who's she? And then she said, hi, Miles. And he goes, and you are?
Oh.
He pretended like he had no idea who she was. He's just being...
See, I thought he was doing it because he knew her personally.
Yeah, I just thought
I didn't. At first, I didn't think it was. I thought it was just like, oh, you
just
know,
messing
around. I honestly picture him as someone who's still lives with his parents because he can't exist outside of the house because he has so bad OCD. So they just encourage him to do his art, and so he's like completely like immature and kind of just lives inward.
Protected.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
yeah,
he lives in the basement like Brian in Space.
Yeah, and like he's trying to do like this project where he has Frankenstein. The idea is to design a cover to these books, and if you do the best, you will actually have the cover. They'll print the book and it'll have your cover. So that's pretty awesome. And I was thinking right away, Abdi's going to do a kick-ass painting of Hercules, of Frankenstein.
Hercules.
Yeah, he would have really felt.
I'm sure the art critic would have liked that.
Have you
Hercules.
Have you not read Frankenstein? But Miles, he's like, I've never read Frankenstein. I timed how long it took me to do a page, and then I did the arithmetic, and I decided I'll read it in 4 hours.
He goes in his little fort.
Yeah, I was like, I would beat the shit out of this person. Just start punching him. I don't know
it's
why.
Like, do you know the basic story of Frankenstein?
And like,
everybody really could,
yeah,
should.
And then when they were doing the junk thing is, I was kind of overwhelmed, so I just took a nap. It's like, shut up. Throw a TV on him or something. And then later on, they're...
He's a tortured artist. How can you be so mean?
The funny part is Judith, when she's talking to him, like, you and I, we're going to have... Eventually, I might yell at you or something. He's just, like, looking at her like, I'm scared. Let's talk about Judith. She doesn't know what to do with her Pride and Prejudice cover. So she decides to...
do fingerprint
art. She doesn't know where she shit
left. First, she's doing, like, finger squiggles on it. And she even refers to it, my finger smears, like it's her, like,
that's,
you know,
her thing.
Picasso went through his different
blue
color period. She went through her finger smear
period. She's reverting back to preschool.
Yeah, her finger,
it's
like, painting.
It's called finger painting, bitch.
And she doesn't know what to do, so she decides to write. Oh, and she's kind of like, you know, she doesn't want to do commercial art like that. She doesn't do that. So I'm going to put Pride and Prejudice backwards. So anyway, let's check this out. The insane
she throws
world.
Her hissy fit. Her art hissy fit.
The insane world of Judith.
I look up at Judith's piece. I have no idea what she is doing. She's like finger painting all over this canvas. She had such a horrible review last challenge.
It's a little all over the place. It looks like a bunch of junk on a table.
As I put in the fingerprints and I'm finding that they're smudgy looking, I think maybe if I keep putting more on, they'll get better. But actually, it's not getting better.
Now, I'm guessing that you had Pride and Prejudice based on the author's name. What language is this in?
It's Edirp Isidujerp. Well, actually, it reads Pride and Prejudice backwards.
Yeah, it
it's
was
really
rhetorical,
not a good thing
question
to make your public and your reader feel stupid. And I felt a little stupid, like, how come I don't know what language this is?
I'm a fine artist. I don't design on assignment. I work with words and text.
So you're special compared to everybody else.
No, I'm just me.
What you did is you defaulted to something that you love to do, which is to write backwards.
You know, when you do your cover,
hey, who doesn't?
You turn the title backwards. It just made
right
me cringe.
When you look at it, you don't
she
know that
backwards.
It's for Pride and Prejudice. I think it's just her way of saying, I'm not going to play.
And I'm all for breaking the rules, but if you're going to break them, show up with something that's more interesting.
That guy, he's like, I want to be Richard Branson so bad. That's what he reminds me of.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I was embarrassed for the girl who spelled Jane Austen wrong.
Oh, that my was God. Really... Yeah, that, well, she was putting so much thought into such a horrible cover with the nude photo shoot and the, then painting when it the, with, what did she watercolor. Use, like watercolors
when they
or
said,
something?
This looks like a still life from high school, I was like, ouch, yeah. It does. Bad. What
it's
about,
like when you rush a, when you rush anything like that, you know? It's
yeah,
like,
just
no. I like the Dracula photo that one guy did.
Yeah, I thought
I agree. There was a little too much blood on it, but
yeah, that guy. I think he has talent, you know, with Photoshop and stuff. And like I say, he's the most employable out of all of them. I think.
Yeah, he is
for being a commercial type artist. Yeah.
He's probably the only one that actually makes money at his craft.
The guy who keeps saying, I'm not really a professional artist, I'm just new in the art world, you know, with the beard and the tattoos or whatever. And he did
is that the Jekyll and Hyde, the blue cover?
He did the clown thing. No, he did Alice in Wonderland painting.
Okay.
I thought it sucked.
And his was pretty, you know,
The idea of it was okay. It was like a playing card or whatever, but I don't think he can...
Oh yeah,
it was okay. That was okay. It wasn't great, but
and the girl he did the eat me thing where it removes, that was a neat idea. I didn't think she pulled it off either.
But the way she should have pulled that one off, if it was me doing the piece,
it would have been a piece of candy.
You wouldn't have used a half a Ritz cracker.
Yeah,
I would have affixed the door half open so you saw it, not where you had to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
So you would know that it's in there.
I was like second guessing their art too. Even Judith, like, do a mirror image of Pride and Prejudice reflecting, like it's almost optical,
top to bottom, or
yeah, where it looks. You can see Pride and Prejudice on the left, and then the backwards on the right, or something. But she just didn't give a shit. I think they were just all overwhelmed or something. But I think it's an interesting show.
And I like the guy who did the blue Jekyll and Hyde cover, the three faces, or something.
Yeah, that was cool. That was just kind of like, huh. That's like one of those people that's going to be safe every week until they get into the real tough things.
And I'd seen that other cover, the Time Machine cover. I already knew that was.
And so did I. Like, I was like, seen this.
I've seen it.
I've seen it in the bookstore.
What's funny is that the book is, I saw it in the bookstore, and it's all over the book from work of art on Bravo. It's like, it's plastered all over the book.
Yeah. And it's like when he was doing it, it's like something in my mind is like, I've seen this.
And
somewhere.
I thought the little ladder was awkward when I saw it on the book, you know?
Yeah, like, I didn't get anything. The one guy was like, I thought that was great. This whimsical little ladder that's going to take me on a journey. I'm like, what?
Like, hey, can you mind if I slap you upside the head?
It's like, I either went with either the Dracula or the Jekyll and Hyde one, you know?
Yeah. Have you guys ever read Jekyll and Hyde? That shit's pretty creepy. Yeah, but anyway, guys, let's talk about Penn & Teller bullshit, huh? This week they did martial arts. Martial arts are bullshit, right? And I kind of wondered, like, what are they talking about? What's bullshit? And really, it's the business of martial arts, which is you pay more money as you learn and you get new belts, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like Scientology.
Yeah, to get the new step in the martial arts and how there's this guy on here who talks about how you're not really learning this to really actually defend yourself. It's almost like a sense of security, you know, in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But what was great is they had this Tai Chi lady who teaches Tai Chi, and she's, I swear she's related to Judith from Work of Art. She's kind of a nutball. Here she explains what Tai Chi is. Awesome.
Hi, Dina Saxer, senior instructor of Qigong.
We spent a long, very long afternoon with Dina. Dina has been teaching the ancient Chinese practices of Qi Kung and Tai Chi ever since the powers of Qi healed her osteoporosis. That's what she said. We don't know why she's here on Showtime rather than presenting her double-blind study, The Curing of Osteoarthritis Through Qi Kung, to the Journal of the American Medical Association. Maybe she loves Dexter. Dina says the Tai Chi she teaches is the internal martial arts.
The internal martial arts are the cultivation of our internal life force energy. Qi is energy, life force energy.
Thanks, that cleared that up. Oh, no, wait, that cleared up jack shit.
All of this adds up to greater health, greater happiness, a longer life, more fun, more intimacy, and greater productivity and a more useful life as well.
We want every single one of those, Dina.
Sounds great. That lady's
I'm sold. But I like whenever she goes, this will really get the chi flowing, and she starts knocking herself in the head.
Yeah. I like when she's like, you can just just like just acting crazy.
That's so typical of some nutty old hippie.
I thought it was interesting when they said that different branches of martial arts or whatever, they don't have a set guideline of what gives you your next belt. And I was like, huh, that's interesting.
Did you – there is a part where they're scrolling all the names of the different martial arts.
Right.
And half of them are fake. Like it was fuck me, fuck you. And all that.
I didn't notice that.
I had to pause it. I was cracking up reading all the names.
Yeah, this is a huge list of them. But there's this one guy. He teaches, like, what is it, hardcore martial arts where...
No, it's not even martial arts. It's a self-defense system.
And it's all about just taking your opponent out. Hitting them as hard as you can. Punching them in the throat. Kick them in the crotch. Stamp on their neck. Snap their neck. And it's just like, it was funny when he was beating up this rubber doll. Like, ah! Just like pounding on. They're like, holy crap! He's attacking the gingerbread man! It was hilarious. And there's this one guy, he's talking about like, that form of martial arts makes some sense. Because laws of self-defense, if you knock an assailant down, you can't stomp and snap his neck.
It's you called curb stomp them.
Yeah, it's called murder. But I thought this was pretty funny. Let's check it out.
The problem with most fighting systems, most martial arts, is the assumption, these teachers will assume that their student is innocent, that their student is the victim. It's never their student is going out misbehaving. So what they'll do is they'll train their people in this very aggressive fighting style and call it self-defense.
Just like the bad guy in The Karate Kid. He was mean and trained in a dojo. Does that possibility worry you, Damien?
If somebody were to kill somebody using the training system, to tell you the truth, I would feel pretty good.
What the fuck? Feel good about taking someone's life?
We're talking about surviving at all costs.
Sounds like overreacting out of paranoia, especially when killing someone isn't always self-defense. According to the legal definition of self-defense, a person must use no more force than appears reasonably necessary in the circumstances. Otherwise, Damien, your students are looking at manslaughter charges.
That guy's class was hilarious, how they're just beating the shit out of rubber.
There's absolutely no art form there. You can't call it martial art because it's just, I'm going to grab your face, I'm going to hit your neck, I'm going to swing my arm around, I might kick you in the nads.
And there was this other guy who ran like a karate school. And he has a world record for breaking the most boards. And they showed how you break boards. You hit it right on the grain and they break easily. Mm-hmm. And
even I knew that at like 3 years old.
Well, I loved how Penn was like, yeah, right. Well, why don't you have your wife show us that from your neighbor's garage? And he's like, oh shit, there's his wife. There's his neighbor. And she's like, I'm going to break these boards in my hand. And she does it. I thought it was pretty funny. And
we would do that in a wood shop after we, you know, made our napkin holders.
We would break boards.
Yeah, we would break boards like we were Bruce Lee.
That's awesome. As a kid, you know, I always wanted to take karate. Never did. Like they said on the show, it's expensive, right? I learned
it
from
is. You have to like cross the bridge to total freedom. You have to keep paying and paying to get your next color.
And did you guys always know somebody in school is like, oh, that dude's a black belt? Did you ever, you know, there was always somebody, that dude's a dragon belt, man. What the hell is that? Dude's bigger than a black belt.
That dude's an eagle scout belt, man.
That dude's
that's
like
awesome.
It's like a triple black belt on top of a green belt.
He could make a fire and kick your ass.
I always wanted to know Miyagi-Do, though. Didn't you guys?
I think we learned it pretty well from the movie.
Yeah, all you gotta do is clean the house.
Wax on, wax off.
Yeah.
A lot of house
painting. And...
Mm-hmm. No, show me vacuum floor! So anyway, that's bullshit. And last week they had the fast food one. I thought that was pretty funny.
I need to watch that one. What did they talk about fast food wise?
Well, how people want to regulate they want the government to regulate how much.
Oh, how much shit they eat.
Yeah, they want them to tax fast food so people it'll be too expensive for people to buy. And they were talking about how stupid that was.
So they want a nanny state.
They were talking about like a soft drink tax to make Coke so expensive you wouldn't buy them. But they also talked about the high fructose corn syrup and how the government with corn farmers and stuff and like how, okay, the people that they pay money to grow this corn, now you want to tax them. And it just made
no
sense.
That sin tax really works well on tobacco in states. That really makes people stop smoking. And
It's really just really dumb. But it was pretty funny how – this one lady was complaining about what they do is they put a lot of sugar, salt, and flour in these foods, and it makes you want them. And he's like, oh, you mean they make it good? Those bastards! It was pretty funny. And they explained what Carl's Jr. means, which I thought was funny. Because it's like Carl's Jr.'s? No, it's called Carl's Jr. Why is it called that? And they explain it. And I thought that I finally know what it means now. Do you guys want me to explain?
Sure.
Yes, you're tickling my ass with a feather here.
The guy who started Carl's Jr. had a big restaurant. It was a barbecue place, Carl's Barbecue. He decided to open a little burger place that was junior to his main business, Carl's Jr. Mm. Yeah, pretty neat, huh?
Well, you know what? Now I can move on with one more trivial item in my head.
All right, guys, let's talk about True Blood. True Blood's back. And does anybody watch the Snoop Dizzle's Sookie song?
Do you guys know? I made sure I...
Snoop Dogg did a song called Oh, Sookie.
Yeah, it wasn't, actually, I've heard it. Yeah.
It wasn't as clever as you'd think it's going to be. No. But anyway, True Blood's back. And like always, Jason Stackhouse has the funniest scenes, does he not?
Yes.
There's a great scene here with Andy where he tells him that he's got to pretend like Andy shot eggs last season. I didn't even remember that till the previews. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was like one of the last things that happened. But he kind of tells him how to get his shit together.
Hey.
Oh, fuck. Andy, where the hell did you come from?
Well, I didn't want anybody to see me, so I parked around back. Came in through your window. What the hell's going on here? Don't you freak out on me.
I killed a man.
No, Stackhouse, I killed him. That's what I just told Bud, and that's what both of us have to stick to. Because there's holes in our story, big gaping ones.
Luck?
Like, if he was really all up in my face, threatened me with a knife, then how come the gun that killed him was fired from over 20 feet away?
Well, shit, man. Why'd you tell him a story with holes in it? We gotta go back and tell him the truth.
You tell anybody anything, we are both gonna spend the rest of our lives in jail.
I don't wanna go to jail.
Then I need to see a lot less conscience and a lot more cojones, and I need to see him pronto.
All right.
Now listen. Bud Dearborn's a good man, he's a good cop, but he is tired and he is old, and he don't see the holes like he used to. We are gonna get through this, so long as we both act like everything's perfectly normal.
I ain't even sure what normal is anymore.
Well, for you, normal's going out and getting tail, so I suggest you start there.
No, that's the old Jason. I want to be new Jason.
Well, when this thing blows over, you can go out and not get laid all you want to, but for now, you got to be the Jason Stackhouse everybody knows. So conscience off, dick on, and everything's going to be all right. Say it with me. Conscience off.
Conscience off.
Dick what?
Dick on.
And everything's going to be all right.
That's classic.
Love it. What'd you guys think about the creepy werewolves who kidnapped Bill? There's a part that made me like, oh, when they're like sharing the blood. He's like, spit in my mouth.
I don't even want to think about it.
Did you
it
guys?
Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Do you know who that was? The van, the werewolf.
I'm No.
Because that was Patrick Swayze's brother, Swayze.
Don Swayze.
Yeah, right.
And from the previews, like, to next week, he's going to be back, which is good. I was like, hey, Don Swayze! Awesome. So, yeah, I think that stuff's all really cool. And like you were saying, Bill, the Tara stuff where she's just going nuts all the time, that stuff gets tiring, exhausting.
I was really hoping that the pills would be swallowed and she would be dead whenever Lafayette went in the room.
And, you know, I really like Lafayette's character where he's, like, just telling her, like, get over your shit, okay?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they have Tara go somewhere, you know? Like, remember how they had her get a little better in the first season and she's trying to find herself and stuff? They've got to find something for her to do instead of just going nuts on everybody all the time. Am I right?
Right.
Either that or get rid of her character. Because you got to do something with her. You can't just have her bitching at people and going nuts. I mean, sure, she can be a volatile character. That's fine. Or I liked when she attacked the redneck dudes later on. I'll probably mesh the two episodes together because I can't remember what happened and what. But that kind of stuff's fine. But all the crazy, insane shit kind of gets to be a little much. But
I mean, to have a bit of it in there was fine. But to the extent that she's at,
about
when she's defending? You know, okay, her boyfriend was killed right there.
When
in that
she
spot.
Starts strangling Sookie, were you like, oh come on?
Yeah.
And you know, she's like, I made him see what he did. And she's like, bitch, I'll kill you. And it's like, come on. was Eggs really that great a guy? You know.
Yeah.
And I love Lafayette. Hooker, what the hell wrong with you? Didn't you love when he called Pam a hooker? And she's like, don't ever call me a hooker. I may have been once in my life, a long time ago, or something like that. I thought that was great. Her character is hilarious. How she's always talking to Eric.
She's one of my favorites. I wish they would use her more, but I guess it's good they use her sparingly.
Right. It's when you use them too much.
Yeah.
Then you're like, okay, enough of this kind of thing. Just like, you know, too much Siler, Bill.
Yes.
Wow, why did I have to bring that up? But anyway, sorry. But let's see, what's going on here?
The little redhead killed the dude.
Yeah, you know what? What is her name? Jessica.
Jessica.
She killed the redneck dude, and he's like, she's like, I'm really sorry what I did to you. And he's like, dying. He's like, you're a whore.
Just take me to the hospital. I can't.
You're a whore. Didn't you guys think he was going to come back as a zombie or something? Like she waited too long?
I was waiting for him to, you know, when she opened the door and he was all rotted, I was just waiting for him to go, bah!
Yeah, something like that. I'm waiting for him to be a zombie. Like she waited too long for him to drink her blood. I don't know what the hell she was thinking, but you know how he was gone from the basement? I figured it's that new vampire in town removed him or something. I don't know, maybe. Or he is a zombie. I don't know, but I don't know what's going on there. You can only predict. But one thing is, the show is a lot of fun, We get the fun back.
When is that this coming week when they were showing the preview? She wants to buy a chainsaw to chop up
the body. That was in this week's episode where she called. And she goes, how much is a chainsaw? And it's like, $400. She's like, how much to rent a chainsaw? And I love she's going, vroom, and she opens it up and the body's gone. But I love how she has to keep going to sleep next to the corpse. And she's like, ugh. It's like, just bury it somewhere.
Yeah, where, go bury yourself in the yard.
Yeah. And I love when that first episode, when Bill attacks, you know, the werewolves have got him, but he gets out of it in the car accident. Mm-hmm. And then he buries himself and he goes to the old lady's house and feeds on her.
Poor old lady.
I love the cliffhanger of him encountering the werewolves, and then the next episode where he's like, and he's got a big chunk of ear in his mouth.
I love how the episode starts with the ending of the last episode.
Yes.
Which is just cool.
Just so much energy going on, you know. And we meet the king of, where is it? Mississippi?
Mississippi.
King of Mississippi. And the funny part, I'll just skip to this, where Bill is eating with the king of Mississippi. He's basically captive at the dude's house. And he's kind of a foodie vampire, isn't he? Like, he's like, this is citrus blood or whatever. And then later on, they have this kind of...
bring me the Thai boy.
Yeah. But there's the bisque, blood bisque with rose petal. I love that. But let's go ahead and check out this truncated clip.
Chilled carbonated blood. It's cruelty-free, all willingly donated. Note the citrusy finish. This one ate only tangerines for weeks.
Mr. Compton, thank you for joining us. It is an honor to have you in my kingdom again.
Your Majesty has been very hospitable. Perhaps my queen will take this into consideration before she has you staked.
If staking vampire royalty were a viable option, trust me, you would not be sitting here.
Why am I?
I want to make you sheriff of Mississippi Area 2. World's only cactus plantation.
You didn't kidnap me and drag me across state lines just to offer me a job.
Oh, you're too hung up on state lines. Those lines will soon cease to exist.
You're waging war against the Queen of Louisiana. War.
Oh, barbaric. Look, vampire politics may be medieval, but I'm not. I mean Sophie Ann no harm. In fact, just the opposite. I intend to marry her. For the moment, she says no. But a queen is entitled to change her mind.
And how will you make that happen?
With your help, of course.
Warm blood bisque infused with rose petals.
Delicious.
There's
that
a
top
lot
chef.
Of natural gas win. To be had in Louisiana. I enjoy the
Only
music.
Only if it's salted properly.
Frankly, I've outgrown the sandbox. Sophie Ann is a delightful eccentric.
She's as mad as a monkey on a trike, and she has been for centuries.
Talbot, we don't need to say everything we think. And I know she has secrets. And I want to know what they are.
I think she likes girls.
In return, I'll make you sheriff of Area 2.
Perhaps your majesty is using werewolves to gather his intelligence as well.
Ouch.
There's clearly been a mistake. I am not the vampire you are looking for. I am not privy to the queen's secrets. Nor do I have any interest in being your sheriff. I'm sorry to waste your time.
Oh, Sookie. Such a shame she has to pay the price for your stubbornness.
You leave Sookie out of this. You're in my house, Mr. Compton. Put your fangs away.
You know, one thing that was cool I was thinking about when Bill was fighting the werewolves, didn't you get a sense that he's done that before, had to fight werewolves? Almost like he knew how to kill them, like, pretty quickly. Almost like, I like scenes like that because you almost get a feel for how long he's been alive. You know what I mean? I like stuff like that. But the stuff with Sophie Ann, the Queen of Louisiana, I thought it was interesting how she said she's completely broke, basically. So she's having them sell V, which vampires are forbidden to do, to make extra money. I just thought it was funny, the idea of a vampire just, they're flat broke, you know, needing money. I thought was kind of funny. So
you,
I guess,
you don't really think about that, you know, always the vampires of lore are, they're always very, seem to be very rich, but you never really think about where the money comes from.
Right.
Like, it's like they're all part of old money or something.
Yeah, I guess like whatever money she had, she's blown or something. I don't know. But there's something going on there with the secrets or whatever. So it's a good beginning so far of the show.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it more so than the past seasons. It seems to have learned a little bit from its mistakes.
Oh, and certainly.
It's moving a little quicker pace.
Yeah, it's interesting how they juggle so many characters because there really are a lot. Because they've got Sam's character where he's trying to find his old family, and then now this brother. And I just kind of grinned at there's a little Stephen King reference in there. He's like, this is the same car as Christine. You know, Stephen King? He's like, oh, no, how to read or whatever. Any kind of mention like that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool stuff. So we'll see what happens more on True Blood. What do you say we do some news, Bill?
Okay, let's do some news.
All right, Stephen, you ready to do some news?
Do some news. Scary news.
Well, scary news. All right, let's do the news.
Thank you.
the fuck?
All right, Bill. What do we have in the news this week?
All right, let me pull it up here. I need to remember to get some printer paper. I had to bookmark everything in my internet browser. And I've got way too many bookmarks. Okay, now we're getting to the bottom. All right, here we go. police in Cincinnati put out a filled out a police report on Daryl Bess. Clothing description: naked. Offenses: public indecency, theft, carrying a concealed weapon. According to police and court records, Bess, 52, was found unclothed, standing at the men's room sink in the Cincinnati Public Library on Wednesday. When they searched Bess's bag, they found a 4-pound chunk of cheese stolen from Silver Glades Cheese and Sausage in Findlay. He also had 2 knives and some DVDs that belonged to the Vine Street Library branch. Police arrested him Wednesday on charges of public indecency, carrying a concealed weapon, knowingly trespassing, and theft and receiving stolen property. A judge ordered Best to stay away from the library.
Yeah,
Best, who's homeless, has been arrested several times. The man just, you know... He enjoys DVDs, cheese, and being naked.
Yeah,
no biggie.
Hey, man. Proud American, right?
He wasn't doing anything to anyone. Maybe he was just cleaning up in the bathroom before he went back and hit the streets.
What kind of cheese?
Conscience off.
Conscience off.
Dick what?
Dick on.
And everything's
gonna be all right.
That's right. Maybe he eats cheese so he doesn't have to go to the bathroom a lot.
Hilarious. Yeah,
bind himself up.
Hey, does that work? I need to try that.
Yeah, it does. You know, this past April Fool's, ThinkGeek, the website, they love to make fake items. In fact, one of the fake items they did actually turned into a real item, the Tauntaun sleeping bag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, this year, one of the items they did was called canned unicorn meat.
Nice.
So it looked like dog food with sprinkles.
I was plumb surprised.
And its subtitle was Pate is Passé, Unicorn, the New White Meat. Okay, and this only lasted a day. It was April Fool's Day joke. But... come this week, they get a cease and desist letter from the National Pork Association or the National Pork Board because they were infringing on the slogan "The Other White Meat."
Really? What?
They received a letter saying that they were writing them in connection with the activities at ThinkGeek, wherein they have been marketing a product called Radiant Farms canned unicorn meat using the slogan "Unicorn, the New White Meat." It appears on a number of other websites, and they are in violation of the National Pork Board, who is owner of the mark "The Other White Meat."
Don't take it personal.
I'd take him to court over that. It says the new white meat, not the other white meat.
Yeah. Not the same.
It's totally different, dude.
That just cracks me up. I didn't know you could trade for
word.
The other white meat. That's pretty great. I'm gonna have to do some searches on some trademarkings. like one in particular that doesn't quite sound right. That we'll just leave at that. Moving on. Damn it! I just closed my window. Oh shit.
Now this is
podcasting.
Yeah, that one. Okay. A Burger King employee clocked out Monday afternoon only to assault a customer at the restaurant's drive-thru.
Oh, my God.
A 59-year-old customer who's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, called the employee a derogatory name following a dispute. The Lancaster man said the employee, Michael D. White, had refused to display the price of a meal on the order board, sparking an argument. Okay.
What a filthy bastard.
Yeah, that was it. That's what he called him. As the dispute escalated, the employee removed his headset, exited the store after telling the manager to clock him out. He walked up to the vehicle and punched the customer in the side of the head and threw the soda on him. The customer suffered swelling and a bruise. Lower Paxton Township lieutenant said the customer admitted to insulting the man, but told the police his comment was not racial in tone.
Thanks, that cleared that up.
Yeah, something tells me that guy isn't going to be working at the Burger King anymore. And he's probably not going to be working in fast food or food in general.
Poor guy.
All right, a woman has been arrested on suspicion that she started a Phoenix apartment complex fire that displaced at least 26 residents. On Thursday, the Phoenix firefighters responded to a call around 2:45 p.m. reporting smoke coming from the third floor of the apartments. A crew searched the building but found no one. The fire was put out an hour later by 70 firefighters. An unidentified woman was detained at the scene after she told neighbors she tried to kill herself by setting her mattress on fire.
Oh, my God.
E-derp. E-sid-do-jerp.
She was telling everyone freely that she started it.
Crazy bitch.
I guess maybe she wanted to take some other people out along with herself.
She's mad she didn't win the art prize that week.
Hey, how'd you make out today?
All right. I had no idea there was an actually a town called Lando Lakes.
Oh,
but
nice.
But there is in Florida.
I'm flabbergasted.
You live in a butter town. At 8:30 Wednesday night, a 53-year-old man sat in a chair drinking the last beer in the house.
With all due respect, sir.
But his girlfriend wanted it. Elizabeth Breeden, 41, went off on him and tried to grab it out of his hand at their home, but he would not let go. Breeden ripped the natural light can in half, spilling the lager on her boyfriend, his chair, and the floor. The boyfriend stood up, slapped her in the face.
Oh my God!
And then she kicked him in the groin. Breeden told a deputy that her boyfriend kicked her and threw beer on her, which is why she ripped the can in half.
He was a fat asshole.
She was arrested and charged with domestic battery. Why weren't both of them charged? And why are they fighting over natural light?
Because she started it. He defended himself.
What the fuck?
Thank you, Steve. I am glad you are fully aware of the self-defense laws. Just kill anybody.
Cleared up jack shit.
All right. An 18-year-old Jayla Ham and 18-year-old Corday Honia were arrested in January after police found pictures of Ham's son crying while being duct taped to a wall.
Sweet.
Ham also told police that the boy was regularly confined to a dark closet. She pleaded not guilty this week after a judge again refused to move her case to juvenile court. She was 17 when the incident occurred. You know, I think more kids would be able to, you know, go on with their life if they just duct taped their 22-month-old child to a wall and went out.
Wow.
It sounds like a really good method of, you know, the kid can't get into any trouble, duct taped to a wall, can't really, you know, grab onto anything. Just relax, hang out like a hammock. A confined hammock.
In the making.
So
I'll do that when I have a kid. Just duct tape it to the wall.
What kind of a sick bastard?
It's been a while since Steve Hindy plucked a wounded pigeon from rocks along the Delaware River. Hindy, an animal activist who is best known for receiving a $1 million donation for his anti-cruelty group from Bob Barker, nursed the wounded pigeon back to health.
A pigeon?
Now, yes.
A pigeon.
Now he's seeking justice for the bird, which he has named Roberta, and which was injured in a pigeon shoot at a gun club. Humane Society police officer from Pennsylvania filed a criminal complaint against a gun club in district court on behalf of Roberta. It's a freaking pigeon, people! Seaton said the complaint about her because of a number of other pigeon shoot cases she's working on. Apparently, this gun club, instead of using clay pigeons, likes to actually use real pigeons. And quite frankly, I have no problem with that because they're pigeons.
How do you launch them in the air?
I guess you actually put them in the clay pigeon launcher. Just tie them down and pull!
It seems like it would just be easier to use clay pigeons.
Nah, I didn't want to kill something that's living. I want to take its life. All right, last story here.
Those guys belong in jail.
Yeah, pigeon murderers.
I bet you Bert is pretty angry.
All right, last story. Here we go. South Lake Tahoe, California. Douglas County Sheriff deputies arrested a 21-year-old truckee man on suspicion of trespassing and assaulting after he allegedly urinated on a slot machine and became combative. Deputies responded to the Mount Blue Casino Sunday after casino security made several attempts to kick the extremely intoxicated man out of the casino.
Now, back off and let me pee.
For a bad attitude and inferring with security personnel's job.
I'm about ready to kill you.
Urinating on a slot machine.
Personal serious rage issues.
I hope this was Bubba. I really do. After deputies arrived, they made several attempts to get the man to leave. He eventually walked toward the Harrah's Lake Tahoe, but made a final attempt to get back in to Mount Blue and got into a fight with the casino security officer. Deputies had to intervene and were able to subdue the man.
Dave, he's crazy.
Also last weekend, three South Shore residents were arrested in association with an alleged pickpocket. A 27-year-old Stateline woman allegedly took the man's wallet while they were dancing butt to butt at the Vex nightclub. That's pretty clever. You seduce the man by rubbing your butt against his butt and then take his wallet from his butt pocket.
I like it's the name.
That sounds like a...
What? Salvatore, what the hell? We're not talking about that. What's he talking about?
Oh, and just to let you know, in Kentucky, beware of a man who likes to rob pharmacies with a sword.
Awesome.
We have another sword robber.
What a filthy bastard.
So keep an eye out anywhere around eastern Kentucky, the Howard Family Pharmacy. He might show up again with a large sword.
Jeez. Well, I guess
and that's
that
news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. It's pretty.
All right.
It's always good to have news again, right, Steven?
I never know what's going on without Bill's news.
So, Vinny Sphinxes?
Because I cover the real news.
The good news.
What do you say about Sphinxes? What?
He's going to hand paint the Sphinxes.
So, Vinny Sphinxes?
Sphinxes. Huh.
It's got to feel authentic.
Authentic.
That sounded a little like he had a stroke on that one.
Well, what do you guys say? You guys ready to do some DVDs? Steven, do you remember how to sing this song?
I don't know.
All right, we're going to give it a try. All right, let's do it. The DVDs. Ow!
DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! 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 HD Blu-ray standard definition! DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody! Yes.
The sensual DVD song.
Yikes. It's kind of scary.
I don't like to eat them raw.
Oh my God.
Likes them raw.
All right, Bill. What DVDs do we have this week?
All right. DVDs for June 29th, 2009. Starting off with the remake of The Crazies.
I like it, the name.
No, these are The Crazies. I don't think they're into S&M.
I want to see this movie.
So do I. I've been wanting to see it for a while.
I've heard it's
I'm
good.
I'm glad it's finally hitting Blu-ray and DVD.
And I heard it's pretty genuinely scary, too.
I haven't heard it's genuinely scary, but I heard it's well done.
I heard that it'll scare the pants off you.
Oh, that's scary. What if I have a belt on?
Oh, no.
It won't scare belted pants off, just regular pants.
All right, and this is really strange, but apparently there's a Blu-ray of Disney's Dumbo coming out, but only in Mexico. So if you want it, you have to import it. It's still in English, of course, and it's got a Spanish and Portuguese track, but it's in 1080p, full frame, the Academy ratio, and but it's got the DTS HD Master Audio 7.1 and all that. You just have to be careful because the special features and menus may be in Spanish.
It's really going to be funky.
It's just strange that they would release a 70th anniversary of Dumbo in Mexico, but not here.
Yeah, that is weird. Why Mexico?
I guess they really love Dumbo in Mexico.
The crossroads of the world.
And moving on, Hot Tub Time Machine.
I was plumb surprised.
That movie's hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed the movie, and I even enjoyed the kind of nonsensical "How'd That Happen?" ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
With all due respect, sir.
What? Yeah, it's a fun movie, Steven. Check it out. Definitely got to be there, man.
I need to.
This is actually my idea.
I thought the weakest part was the Craig Robinson guy. I didn't, really. I just don't find him that funny, and he's even less funny on hosting Last Comic Standing.
Oh, I haven't seen that train wreck yet.
Oh, it's
could
bad.
You? Hasn't it been canceled for like 2 years or something? They brought
how
it back.
Did they bring it back, yeah.
They brought it back with three new judges. This one, like, real neurotic, nebbish guy, and then
well, what I
this
don't understand is like
we got Greg Giraldo too. Bangles.
Well, I don't understand is like, show me the previous winners. What are they doing now? And then your whole show flies out the window.
Oh, Josh Blue is huge now.
Oh, remember Josh that guy? Blue. Josh Blue. Holy shit. Wow.
You were the other man. I would kill you where you stand.
Oh, my God. Don't bring up Josh Blue.
That's one angry Klingon.
Worf does not like when you bring up Josh Blue.
He should have had his own sitcom
by now. I think
he
has something against people with cerebral palsy.
Seriously, what happened to Josh Blue? He's probably still around. He probably does like little funny videos on the internet or something.
I'm sure he tours like hotel clubs and shit like that.
He does little 15 or 20 minutes a night wherever.
He probably opens for Jay or something.
Ugh. All right, next DVD, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief on
it's
DVD
hard to,
and Blu-ray.
It's hard to sound like badass with that name, isn't it? I'm Percy. I'm going to kick all of your asses.
Now, this is supposedly a book series, but is Percy Jackson supposed to be Perseus? Is this basically a redo of Clash of the Titans?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I don't know.
I never really looked into it because I heard it was horrible, but I'd like to know, is this a kiddie version of Clash of the Titans?
You sick bastard!
What I thought I saw from the commercial that the three kids in there were all descendant from the Greek gods.
Right.
So
is it a cool movie? I figured it might be pretty cool, but it just did poorly. You know, in theaters.
Well, let me pull up Metacritic.
Sometimes that happens where a movie can be pretty cool, but it just doesn't find an audience in theaters, and then maybe on video or something, kids dig it, you know? Something like that.
Percy. Percy?
My name's Percy, and I'm going to kick your ass!
My name's Perseus, but I prefer
Percy. Oh, man, it's got a Metacritic rating of 47.
Hey.
So that's below average.
Just barely.
$1.
It looks like the highest rating it got was from Roger Ebert.
Nice.
Says it's goofy, fun, but distracting by practical aspects of the story.
E-derp, e-sid-do-jerp.
I'll put it on my Netflix queue.
Yeah, I'm sure it's entertaining, you know.
Oh, boy, look what we have next. Another bazillion version of Predator on Blu-ray.
Hilarious.
I think it's been on Blu-ray twice already, and now we get Predator Ultimate Hunter Edition.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ultimate Hunter Edition.
Comes with a real human skull.
It's got two discs with 5 hours of extras, including an in-depth documentary, director's commentary, and never-before-seen bonus footage.
Bonus footage?
Yeah, I'll pass.
You know what's
I already
sad?
Have it once.
The guy who played the Predator in the first movie, he died, Kevin Peter Hall. So all these other guys, they're just trying to live up to that. It's just not working. Huh.
The other Predator's still alive, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You know, in that Alien versus Predator, I couldn't stand the way the Predators looked in that. They look like wrestlers or something.
Yeah,
they're like,
it's because they're all MMA guys.
They're all like big bulky dudes. They didn't look right. And I'm hoping that they do look right in the new movie, Predators.
Predators, where it's a play on words, where the people there are the Predators of the Predator.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because
they're like, that's what the latest trailer is. The whole thing is, well, we've got to become the Predators.
Well, I don't know if it's a play on words. Isn't it multiple Predators in the movie, though?
No, I think it's just one Predator.
Like aliens.
Yeah, they're sent to like a game preserve planet.
Right.
And they're being hunted by a Predator.
And his Predator animals?
Yes. So, the trailer looks pretty badass.
Yeah, it does. It looks pretty cool. And a guy named Nimrod directs it, right?
next. Wow. We're already at the end there? Holy moly. There really isn't shit this week. Good thing I dragged news out too long. All right. Last,
ouch,
but certainly not least. Well, sort of. A movie that's not for everyone. The White Ribbon by Michael Haneke. He's kind of known for his kind of dour films, and The White Ribbon is no exception. But it won, I believe it won the best foreign language film. Or no, it was something else that won. I can't remember which one won, but it was nominated.
It looks like a bunch of
junk. It's not a bad film, it's just one of those really slow burn ones with no resolution.
Oh.
Am I making it sound great?
You're definitely selling it.
Sold.
And it's not a bad movie. It's really competently directed and composed, and it's very intriguing storyline, and you never know what's really going on. But it's a good movie. It's just not the sort of movie you'd watch more than once.
I can't take it anymore.
Wow.
And that's DVDs for this week. That's it.
That's it? Whoa.
That's it. There is absolutely nothing.
Dude, well, I'm definitely going to pick up that Mexican Dumbo.
Whoa, I'm sure you can get it on Amazon. They're always doing that where you can import.
Well, what would happen if, like, you were in the, like, you went to Mexico, bought it, and tried to fly back, and they searched your bags and they found it?
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
See?
Oh, what kind of thing do you do?
Anger.
That was in honor of Work of Art, the show.
Fear.
Don't you wish we could have Brian on Work
as
of Art?
Judge.
Yeah.
I wish they could have Volva on.
I always remember when he says, I can only remember the shit I used to do with you.
Aggression.
I love it. Awesome.
That episode with Volva was one of the funniest.
Volva and Hoover.
Yeah, Volva and Hoover. That's the one that begins with him doing Come On Eileen, right?
Yeah. And that's the zombie one, too, isn't it? Or no, I'm confusing him.
I'm not sure.
Isn't that the one? Doesn't he punch Volva because he thinks he's
hallucinating? Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the zombie one because he's been playing the zombie game so long.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I was just trying to think of that. But all right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week, huh?
You're welcome.
Psychopath in the making.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And scene.
And I like to eat them raw.
It's not finished. It's finished.
All right, everybody. That was episode. That was episode 205 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to us again. I know we were gone for a while. I'm glad you enjoyed those kitchen nightmares. Just let it go. Sorry. But if you'd like to send us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491 or go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an MP3 of your voicemail. That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it, Bill?
Yeah, that would.
I love the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff.
You could have an accoutrement of sea stuff in your voicemail or something. But, also go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You'll find a link to Mulberry Old School. Listen to all of our old shows. How cool would that be, Steven?
Very cool.
I mean,
Steven sounds so excited.
Steven, do you ever listen to old shows? I'm wondering. You've never listened to any of
I don't
shows.
Think he's ever actually
No, I
listened
have listened
to
old shows back a long
When's
time
When's the last
ago?
Time you've listened to a Nowhere in Mulberry episode?
Maybe
when we did one and you weren't on the show and
you
wasn't live.
Probably about like 2 or 3 months ago, yeah.
But like, have you ever listened to a podcast with you on it where you hear yourself?
No, I don't like to listen to myself. It's weird.
What?
I don't know.
I'm the same way. I am the same way, I have to admit.
Do you cringe at yourself? Or?
Yeah. I have a cringe factor when I hear, if I feel like I've said something weird, you know, it's like, ooh, I shouldn't have said that, you know. I'm hypercritical of myself, I guess.
I see. Is it bad if I love listening to the show?
No, it's not. I mean, you know, it's not bad.
It's just kind of...
It's better than not liking to listen to
it. And I'm not saying I don't... I mean, I like listening to it, and you know, I hear you guys, and I'll hear stuff that I didn't hear before.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So there will be times where I'll listen to an old show.
You go, I don't remember saying
you
that.
You will say something, and I think it's hilarious, but during the show, I'm not paying attention to what you're saying then because I'm thinking about what I'm about to say.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or it's like Adam catching the bacon thing that I said.
Do you remember saying that?
No. No.
Interesting.
I vaguely remember saying it, you know.
Right. I think you should go back and make yourself listen to those. I do it for timing. Like, I listen to...
I understand.
Just kind of getting an idea of what worked or what didn't work. Like, oh, we spent way too much time on this. We need to move on faster, that kind of thing. I used to do that more. Now I don't do it as much. I just kind of listen, you know? Like, for instance, when I hear this.
E-derp, e-sid-do-jerp.
I'm like, that is gold right there. Mine that gold, whatever you do. You know? I know that from that. And let's see what the judges thought of this week's episode.
It's a little all over the place.
Hey, bastards, what the hell?
It looks like a bunch of junk on a table.
Oh, I can see that. You know, I actually agree with them. What do you guys think?
Sometimes that happens. You can't really control it.
Now, after we're going to be serving a meal after the show.
Warm blood bisque infused with rose petals.
Mm.
Is it from the Thai boy?
Chilled carbonated blood. It's cruelty-free, all willingly donated. Note the citrusy finish. This one ate only tangerines for weeks.
I love that. Note the citrusy finish.
I love that harp music.
Ouch.
Oh, that's so gay. So, ouch.
Ouch.
I'm a gay vampire. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, good stuff. But I'm glad to be back doing the show. Can't wait to talk about new stuff. And Bill, you're going on vacation sometime in July, right?
Yeah, the last weekend of July, the 31st through the 7th, I'll be in North Carolina.
Wow, that'll be cool. Are you gonna...
Yep, entire family. First time that we've been on a family vacation in probably 20-plus years.
The crossroads of the world.
It'll be interesting. I'll take lots of pictures and videos for everyone.
Yeah, you can tweet a lot of it.
Yeah, I bought one of those... flip cameras, those little HD flip cameras, and a bunch of memory cards, so I'll be shooting stuff.
Sweet. All right.
Yeah.
So next week, we'll be talking about Entourage. When does the Big Brothers come back?
The 7th.
The 7th. Okay, that'll be the week after. All right, guys. We'll see you next week, I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
I pretty much covered everything. All right, everybody. See you next week.
I'm not going home.
Huh?
It's not finished.
It's finished.
Oh, it's finished. All right, everybody. See you later.
We must activate the auto-destruct sequence and use the escape pods to evacuate the ship.
We don't need to say everything we think.
Somebody.
Now this is podcasting.
I can't take it anymore. I cannot take it.
What is bacon?